Yeah, wait, last that, and the music's done. Frank's not there. I'm so shocked. No, it's just, you know, this is Frank. So yeah, he had some connection problems last week. So maybe, but that doesn't stop him from sending me all kinds of texts and stuff of what's up, because he's definitely got an opinion. Well, he'll hopefully be in here. Donna's communicating, dealing with, you know, whatever. I've been watching some of the. How far am I into this? I don't know, 10 minutes or so. The debate. And it goes for, I guess it's an hour and a half, you know, what they did. Now, this is the CNN version. They split the screen between them. He comes off as calm, cool, professional, kind of, you know, a lot of people don't know. Pence is, you know, was a governor, is a legislator. I think he was a senator or something. And, you know, he's got skills. And then she is just, you know, just annoying, you know. All right, there's Frank. He wants me right in the middle of the freaking show to go up and push his button. And we got Frank, are you there, Frank?
Yeah, I was able to reconnect. Good morning.
Well, he's not too, man. See, you get me off on the, another thing, you know, that you have to wait. It's just, you know, the way it is. All right.
Oh, it's okay. I'm sure you're not talking about Donald Trump because he's not in the news at all. Oh, no.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, last night what happened was we had a good and important interview with James Corbett, Derek, and I. James wanted to really kind of interview us about IPFS. That's becoming a big thing now. They're starting to see the value of this, because as things go over, all of a sudden, where are they going to go? Well, mm-hmm. BitChute, and BitChute's just another collective of, and they're sold to Google for $1 trillion or something. It's coming sooner or later. So we can't do that anymore. You know, we got to get off. And so at the same time was the vice presidential debate, and I'm going, I got it up and I just started watching, you know, today during the breaks, and watch a little bit of, I'm already pissed off at Kamala, you know, just being annoying. So and they're going on Trump about him going over time and interrupting everything. And she just blazes through the deadlines and, you know, out of time. And so already I'm pissed off at her and she hadn't even said anything. So substance. So but the first thing we did with James, we go, well, James, you know, he's on. We got to give an option to, we can talk about the vice presidential debate or anything else. You know? Well, he chose anything else. The
it's the optional. It's the wild card category on Freedom's Phoenix. I don't blame you. That debate must have been painful for you guys to watch. It was almost painful for me. You know, I mean, I'm not.
I didn't watch the VP thing. I haven't watched it yet. I was going to get your version of what happened. How, you know, skip to the end and tell me how it went.
Well, there's a couple skip to the ends. I mean, look, you know, I hope people, especially, I know you're going to jump all over me that it's a little too early to start this debate now about voting or not, but I'll just tell you, for people who need still another reason, if there's not enough reasons to vote, or at least attempt to vote, and just let them try to corrupt it, and that's a larger issue you and I agree and disagree on. But I'll tell you what, you know, what you saw last night was an example of what Donald Trump has helped to destroy. I don't know about you guys, but for most of us in this
audience,
what
do you mean help to destroy?
What I mean is how politicians have been. You know, most of this audience, if you're listening in this audience right now, you're not a newbie. You've been following politics for at least over 4 or 5 years, I can guarantee it. And you guys all know, most of our lives, you put on ABC News, or how many debates have we seen, whether it's with Bill Clinton back in the day, or Bob Dole, or just name anybody, except maybe Ron Paul and a couple of Pat Buchanan, perhaps. But how many times, every time you see a talking head show in a debate, you know the question answered before they even answer it. These politicians have been vanilla, cookie cutter, whether they're coming from the conservative talking points, the liberal talking points. It's like, it was so banal. It was almost like you just watched just to see if someone made a mistake or a quip. That was the only reason you watched. We would watch the whole debate for just one little faux pas, and everyone would make a big deal about it. Donald Trump comes and the whole damn thing is a faux pas. It's just like nonstop. And why? Because he is speaking from the heart and from the hip. And whether you like his policies or not, and the Federal Reserve or however, or the good things or bad things, the guy means what he says what he means. And, you know, you basically have authenticity, which has been lost. What you saw last night, people, is what we're going to get going back to regular politics without Donald Trump, if nothing else. I mean, that's not just Donald Trump. I think he's going to change politics going forward, especially if he sweeps in a whole new Republican House and hopefully Democrats in the future, too, where authenticity and a new breed will get in there. Will people speak from the heart? A lot of these YouTubers, I think, will be getting into politics. That's a larger issue. I just want to get back to this debate. Kamala Harris and Pence is like he's just the epitome, like just the signpost for a traditional vanilla politician that just says nothing. It's just, you hear him and you hear wah, wah, wah. I mean, look.
He was, give his resume. I mean, he was governor of something, senator.
Well, actually, before that, you don't even know this. He was a popular AM political talk show host, like Charles Goyette in his home state for like 20 years. He was a talk show host.
Yeah,
I know exactly. Yeah, exactly. It could be you. Anyway, he was a conservative talk show host. And, you know, he did talk about, I think, more with family values. And he definitely, I give him credit. He
my point is he's experienced in these kinds of debates. He's not going to be, you know.
Well, yeah. But the thing
you
is.
You know, deer in headlights. But, so how did he perform?
Yeah, but I know. But the point is, Ernie, he was trained and bred in the old school of politics. Of the way we watch on ABC News with David Brinkley. That's the world he comes from. And what it was just so, look, Trump picked him to be the antithesis to him for a whole bunch of reasons that we've talked on this show. And it was a smart pick. But it just shows you of the politics that we could so easily slip back into, which I don't think anybody wants on either side. You know, I want authenticity back. And watching that, I was getting flashbacks of the countless debates I've watched my entire life. I'm like, I do not want this. If nothing else, it's bad for ratings. But I'll tell you what, it's bad for this country to go back to that. But anyway, that's the larger picture. I think it put a lot of people to sleep. And also, even Peter Schiff tweeted out. It was funny. Even Schiff tweeted out halfway through that, you know, it seems like both of them did nothing but just memorize their talking points and just threw them back, like a ping pong game.
Well did Pence respond to every look? It seems like she's
no.
They're trying to trigger, you know, get you to talk, and then and I was going, Trump, why you don't give a crap what they say, you know, say what you want to say and positive and future and whatever. So I'm just wondering if Pence did nit and tittle respond to every accusation or word?
No, he did. But Ernie, that's my point. He responded, but he responded like politicians traditionally do. He basically, well, first off. He responded with a whole nother meta level, which was kind of cool. I'm telling you, I came back from work. I actually watched it at work because I work late, you know, long story. I came home, had my late dinner, and I was like, listen, catching on the news for this show. And automatically, already, they have countless YouTube videos from the Trump-Pence reelection campaign. And they had that entire debate cut up and edited into little pieces with all the little stuff. All night, they already had the thing with all of his talk, all of his.
Oh hits. No, they get the, you know, they probably had the questions beforehand. They had it all packaged, and they do. And the whole beginning was all USA Today and COVID. Got about COVID and COVID. And we need to get in. And now well, you, Kamala, what about the COVID and the prep for the COVID? They didn't do enough COVID.
Well, yeah, no, wait.
We're going into break. Break. Right. Done. Boom. There, we're in break. God,
we have a good signal. We have a good signal. This is great. Cool. We can actually yell at each
different?
Other, and we can hear each other. It's good.
What'd you do different?
Me? No. Adonis says you actually have a good signal this time. I'm not doing anything different, dude. Last week you kept telling me it was not me. I mean, the signal wasn't the greatest, but it was the same I normally have. I mean, by the end of the show, I was walking outside in the middle of the street trying to talk to you, and it kept dropping. So it was not my signal. I was not moving around.
Well, it ain't over yet. I mean, you know.
True.
Yeah, it's always towards the end they start, you know, the Love Bus is, the engine's in, and they're doing test drive either yesterday or today, and then they still got, you know, they got to, you know, put the you know, new cooling fans and re-cored and rebuilt one of the radiators and they got to connect all the yada, 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 yada. I'm just hoping all my tools and stuff are still in it. They left it unlocked when I was there. I'm going, come on, man. Shit. You know, anyway. So we'll be maybe by this, I don't know. It'll be early next week at the latest, but if they have it ready by tomorrow, we may go down and then stay at Jay's a day or two and do whatever we need to do and visit with Bob, because Bob Anderson went to Tingsboro, North Mass. It's like 40 minutes from Manchester. And what happened, he had a guy, old friend of the family that was standing there watching it, but he's sick, has AIDS or something. I don't know, he's got some problem. And he went to Florida to die, but all of a sudden his cameras went out and he can't keep an eye. He's gone. There's no cameras. Well, I guess I'm on a plane. So within 48 hours, he's in Massachusetts with his brother walking into the, you know, kitchen from the basement. They get in there and there's like three gay guys, you know, getting up and going, yeah, what the hell are you guys doing in my house? And we're out of here, you know. And then Leah couldn't get hold of him, so she called the police. Three squad cars are there. Everything, okay, nope, everything's good, you know. And always calling police, never a good idea. He didn't do it. His wife was worried about it. But, ex-wife. So then they left, and then one of the women that was staying with Jay working on the farm there lives not too far, you know, her family's in Massachusetts, and she was just looking for a place for the winter. So I hooked them up. Boom, she's going to house sit for him. He's got that all taken care of. So now he's like, well, hell, I can go, you know, come up and hang. So maybe come get to see Bob out here again at Jay's. Then we'll come back up to Bangor for a week and do a bunch of stuff on the bus. I may do reruns some days next week. We're going to have to do at least one or two shows to kind of test everything and make sure it's working. But yeah, we got a bunch of integration in the, you know, I got to do the green screen thing. I got to get a uniform or start wearing a tie again, all that, and my green screen and all the little crawlies on the, you know, all this crap that I haven't had to worry about, but, you know, having a decent connection. So it's just, there's so much stuff. And, deal like this. The activists making signs in Michigan, they have the Supreme Court ruled 7-0 against her that she violated the law, and 4-3 against the law, saying the law violated the state constitution. So Whitmer is freaking doesn't know what the hell to do. So we're
taking a
stencil version of her picture, putting it in to a Joker thing. Why so serious? Shut up and believe sign that we're doing right.
Oh, that's
got
to look good.
Oh, it's awesome. All right, hold on. Here we go. And Trump Report, Dr. Frank Tamburi. He's on time for this segment. Maybe. Is he there? There he is. He's on time. You know, for the segment. The I was telling him about the signs that we're gonna when we come to Arizona. I'm going to bring all the goodies that we've learned and built and created and go to – I am so there going to get the crap beat out of them because I know where to put the stuff. I know the people to do it. I know we got a place to make them. We got – it's so freaking done. I just I'm so excited to be able – oh, I sent my son, you know, Trump guy, a shirt, you know, a T-shirt. I should send one to you, but that'd be funnier sending.
Well, I will tell you that Arizona is definitely a lot more Jeb Bush low energy without you back here, Ernie.
Of course it is. You know, you waited until I left to do all this crap. You know, this is what the shirt says. It says Trump. I think what does it say? It says Trump 2020 because F you again.
Yeah, well, you know, Trump even famously said, and I don't want to get the profanity wrong, and I know we're on the live show, but he said to some effect, he admitted once, he goes, yeah, I kind of know I'm a dick, but I work for you. I defend you. And in some ways, that's sort of what this is about. It's like showing authority and not to be pushed around. And by the way, not to be pushed around, I still want to talk about the vice president debate, but already just breaking news, you may have heard that the debate commission already now is saying that they are not going to allow the next presidential debate unless it's virtual. And President Trump said, well, if you're going to make this next one virtual, then that means that Biden is too weak and too scared to work with world leaders. You can't hide in your basement. And that means you're not qualified for president. So if you're going to make this virtual, I'm not doing it. And I'm going to host a big rally with plenty of people.
They're so stupid.
Yeah.
What do they think he was going to do? Yeah,
exactly. Remember last time during the regular presidential debates, and somehow he posed something about the whatever it was, and he said, "I'm not going to do the debate." Remember he didn't do the presidential primary debate, and instead he had his own press conference.
Oh yeah,
and
I remember that.
Who watched that?
And nobody watched the other thing, you know.
Oh no, I know. The best part is that the people who got washed out early, Mike Huckabee, and I forget. What's his name? I always forget. The guy who's on CNN now, the Republican. Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum and Huckabee got wiped out early in the primary. And so when this debate happened, those two showed up as special guests at the alternate Trump rally, and they endorsed Trump during his rally during the presidential debate.
Chris Christie came out and did his thing too.
That was before. Chris Christie's the first one to endorse him, but then during this rally, the other two came out.
This is it.
He's amazing.
Waiting for what, Frank? What am I waiting for?
Trump the movie, but it's
Trump
on
the
right
movie.
Now.
It's
By
gonna
the
be
way,
awesome.
Another. Well, remember, we still have to get to the debate here, but Trump the movie, the prequel, not what Ernie apparently is waiting for, is right now. Many of you might know on Showtime. They're showing the liberals' version of the Comey affair, whatever they're calling it, 2 or 3 days. Brendan Gleeson, the famous actor who was in 28 Days Later and a whole bunch of famous, he's a character actor. He's playing Donald Trump, and a bunch of idiots are all playing everyone else. And it's coming out now, I guess it's over now, but it came out after the presidential debate. And it's interesting because in their mind, they somehow think that this was planned to be an October surprise to tell people how corrupt Trump is. And instead, before this movie came out, Trump and the Republicans began releasing all of these documents about Hillary Clinton and Biden being part of the Obamagate issue. And then a couple days ago, Trump comes out and supposedly, and I know you're gonna cringe at it, we'll see what happens, but he said, enough is enough, unredacted, I want everything out and the release on the Hillary Clinton blah, blah, blah. So that's been coming out the last few days. So,
okay. Now, what was the deal on the CIA head director chick? She's the first female and she was all rendition and torturing people and everything. So I'm like, why did he pick her? What is that? I mean, it's like he always puts somebody on a pedestal so they can fire him or something, you know? But when they want to have these documents released, she's going, not doing it. What's that about?
I'm sorry, regarding who? Who said that?
The CIA director. They're not.
Oh.
Now we're not going to release them.
Yeah, you know, I followed it just the other day, and I don't have a comment on that. I heard it, and I have to find more on it before I comment. But no, I don't know. And it's
deep state.
No, exactly. And by the way, to a certain person who might be listening who was on our the mystery person, John Q, who was on our presidential debate call in, and I won't mention his name, but anyway, he agreed with me that one of the concerns or canaries in the coal mine you might have is if Trump and the Republicans feel through internal polling that they really are going to lose, then that might be when they're going to drop really everything that they have. If they really think that they're going to win, I don't think they're going to drop it, as frustrating as it is for the QAnon people, because I think that they, I think it's better to hold it to your chest until afterwards when you secure the courts, you secure the House and the Senate, and you flush out everybody, which I think is going to happen. But that would probably hold on to it, unless you still get wiped out, and then maybe you just show it when you're in your lame duck period. But in any case, I don't think that they're that desperate yet. I honestly think again, we're jumping around here, which we tend to do in Freedom's Phoenix. But I think their internal polling, they know still that they're going to win. You know, this is for those of you who listen to the show a lot. I'm not trying to be a bloviator. I'm not, you know, I do drink the Trump Kool-Aid a bit, according to Ernie Hancock. But I am. But this is not necessarily a little bit. But this is not out of wishful thinking. There's a numerous reasons I've said on the show outlined why now can Trump win. It's more really, I don't see how Biden can, how he can win, given all sorts of historical factors and the positioning and everything. And just for a correlation, you guys should watch the old historical videos of the Reagan-Mondale election, because I've always said Trump is very much like Reagan, and I think his second term is also going to be like that. You know, Reagan was the anti-establishment person. At the same time, when the Democrats
in mythology.
And Democrats, and yeah, no, he is in many ways. And the Democrats try to fight back Reagan, thinking that he was too much of a cowboy. Remember, they thought he was a cowboy. His finger was on the red nuke button. Remember the fake news of which they did when they took him with that hot mic moment when he said he was going to blow up Russia with the nuclear. Remember that one? He was
going to nuke everybody. Yeah, you know, so people know what he's talking about. They had satellite uplink test or whatever with the network. And you'd have Reagan sitting there, he's going to give an address, and, you know, give us a mic level or whatever before it would actually be flipped on to go live broadcast. Well, of course, the Soviets are sitting there watching the live feed, and he knows this. So he's sitting there, and he goes, test, missiles launch, details at 11 or something, you know. And what? What? It was all planned. You know, Reagan was, he played that, because he's a media guy.
I know, but that was like media an early troll. But that was an early troll. That's the thing. In the leftist media back then, I took it seriously.
All right, we're going to break. I can't hear you. We'll be right back. Right back. I got a bunch of stuff to talk about, you know, with Dr. Frank when we come back just a little bit. Okay, we can go record a audio after. We got it set up to where we can record if you want to go long.
Okay, I go a bit longer. I can't go for hours, but yeah, maybe a little bit after, it's fine.
No, I'll do after show or something. All right, eat my sandwich.
Oh wow, I missed her bullet coffee. I will tell you. So, we can talk about just some other things coming back. Of course, you're still the VP debate. There are some take home points with it. The Dems. That's funny. It was interesting also how the Democrats are—they're so desperate, in my opinion, that they can't keep their own narrative as far as their strategy. You know, do we do mail-in ballots or do we turn around and tell everyone to go vote? You know, are we going to play to the leftist crowd, or are we going to just cut and run, which I always know that they would do anyway, and just ditch the leftists because they're becoming more too damaging to their message? I mean, they're flip-flopping on all these points, which to me shows a desperation that just they're, you know, because you have to be solid in what your stance is and your direction. And Trump has been that, although, you know, he doesn't seem to have principles from your point of view, but I think
he's solid. Well, I'll tell you who's playing the long game in Arizona. I mean, this is neon what I thought was going to happen. You don't hear nothing about nothing. What are you hearing from Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing. She is smart and dangerous.
You always say that.
People don't understand her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, you know, here it comes, man.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. You can. It's funny. You know, Arizona was not as much of a purple state, at least technically, they think, as now. Now, I kind of question that because of the Republican enrollment numbers that have been coming out. But regardless, you know, they really threw a lot of money here. And I can tell because of the attack on David Schweikert. I'm telling you, he's the number one House guy. I mean, just telling people who are listening to the after show. Yeah, and so he, but I have, I mean, he's sort of like a milquetoast kind of guy. I mean, I like him. He's, you know, he supported Ron Paul back in 1988 or whatever. I mean, he's a Tea Party guy. He's real quiet. He's subdued. He's no scandal. Nice. I hate to say he's a nice family man when you're a politician. No one trusts that anyway. But I worked for his campaign. I mean, he's just a boring guy. I mean, no disrespect. And yet no one has ever attacked him aside from the standard little ad. Man, oh man, you'd think it's the Biden Trump war here for that seat. And Dave David does not have that much money for his campaign. And the Democrat Party has pumped millions to take down that seat. Every other YouTube, it's either a Trump-Biden ad or it's David Schweikert stole your money because he took a flight and took first class one time and billed the taxpayer. That's the whole campaign, is that he took a flight and he supposedly charged charged it to the taxpayer. I mean, that's the, and yet they're spending millions on this. So they really want that seat. So that's where the battle is for a lot of people outside of Arizona and also our senatorials.
Yeah, I can see where he'd be a pain in their ass, but when he was elected, Sean Dow, went to Washington to help. He was one of his campaign guys, and he was helped with the Ron Paul thing. He's an activist and Republican and all that. So when he went to Washington working with Schweikert, he's telling me how it works there. They're lined up lobbyists and whatever they meet with. And so I don't know what he works with them, but if he doesn't have a bunch of money, I guess he didn't kiss their ass enough, so I'm good. I don't care. I can't get invested in this crap. It's just a right, we're coming back. Here we go.
All right.
With Dr. Frank Tamberi, Trump Report, Trump, which we talk about a lot of other stuff. Here we have the conscientious resistance, which is Derek Broz, has been really doing the decentralization thing, and James Corbett has been pimping him a lot. I just got a Telegram message from him. Friends, just an FYI, our YouTube channel now has another strike, and I cannot post or upload for 2 weeks. Please catch my content elsewhere. Thanks. Where elsewhere? Where are you going to be? Well, we had a big IPFS discussion with James Corbett, and he goes, all right, I'm going to, edit this down and get Brock West, do something, whatever. They're going to make a big deal at IPFS, and he's going to post it up Monday. And he's going, it's going pretty fast. We let people know it's going to, here it comes. And I'm going, it was slow before. I go, the reason it was slow is because you didn't promote it. If you have people, even just by, in a day, once they go and they get the stuff and download it, it replicates and it gets faster. That's the point. It gets, go ahead, bring them on. It's going to go faster. So that's what he's finally going to do. And I try to explain this to people, but now that like Derek Broz, right when he's starting to work with James Corbett and being promoted and pumped, and your YouTube channel.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think one of the follies that Donald Trump has done, and here it is, a critique against the president. And I bow down to it, my altar. But one of the critiques is that he did not really hammer, and I'm still flabbergasted he didn't, on internet censorship. I mean, there's so many. He's hosted White House gatherings for YouTube and influencers and this and that. He's acknowledged his son, Don Trump Jr. I mean, he's on there all the time. He's one of, I don't know if you know this, Trump Jr. is one of the conduits where Trump gets a lot of his information from the internet. So like when Tim Pool posts stuff or Turley or some of the people in which I listen to, others I don't listen to, but Don Trump Jr. is perusing the internet all the time, being younger and kind of the interface. And he's letting his dad know about, check this video out, check this one out over here. And then he comments. So that's been the artery to it. So Trump Jr. knows, and he certainly knows all the internet and censorship stuff. And he helped host that White House gathering, as I was talking about. But for some reason, he's never really brought it up. I mean, I kept thinking, why doesn't he sit there? Donald Trump, he goes by the ratings. God knows he loves the ratings. He'll sit there and say, I may give you the highest ratings, blah, blah, blah. He's giving advice to CNN to boost their ratings, which I find hysterical. So if he's so much into the ratings, why doesn't he sit back and say, well, if you're going to be my White House briefing, remember the old briefings, right, with all the so-called official media, well, you don't qualify unless your ratings are XYZ. And there are YouTubers like what's his name? Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan has better ratings than CNN. Why is not Joe Rogan in the White House briefing room, one of his people? You see my point? Like, this is the type of leverage that Trump could have, because at the end of the day, who says who the media, who the official mainstream media is, if you can't pull the ratings? And he's never acted on that. And I've always wondered about that.
Maybe it's always been by, I tell you how it works, so the audience understands how it works. You go to the Arizona State Legislative Capitol there, and you have the governor's office, you know, a high rise of the Copper Dome and kind of official, you know, whatever. Then you got the Senate wing, is one freestanding building, and the House Representatives. Now, there's a tunnel underneath them a lot of people don't know about. You know, there's a kind of like storage and everything and where the interns go in and out or something, you know, whatever. But so you have that down there. You go into the Senate room. On the first floor, there's two hallways. One goes to the right, one goes to the left, and you have the elevators, and you can go up there and visit legislators and get on the list, and I'm here, and I got a petition or whatever. You go down. I just act like I know what I'm doing. I just walk, and nobody stops you. You know, the guards are sitting there, and they just recognize me. And you go down the left hallway, and you have some offices, and they're not there anymore. You know, they kind of consolidated because they don't use them anymore. They had a small room that was probably, you know, 10 by 15 that was broadcast media. That's where Bob Scott from KTAR was the head of the press pool kind of deal, representing to the government. And he would be at one table or a desk. And then there was another guy from KFYI, KTAR and KFYI. And the television crews, when they came in, that's where they go and charge their batteries or plug in or do something. Then you go to the next one. It's about the size of a classroom. And it had a bunch of those old 50s desks, you know, those big steel desk kind of thing everywhere. And it looked like a newsroom, and it would be, you know, Associated Press. They'd have their own little office thing. Then they'd have, you know, Arizona Republic writer, another Arizona Republic, you know, the Mesa Tribune. You got, Then you get some, you know, free Lance writers that got official to be there. How do they get to be there? You know, why them and not, you know, one of us? Or we do. So we would challenge this all through the 90s, how this actually worked. And I'm going, they had a big rack, paper rack, you know, like you put, you know, press releases in this just rack of papers, a stack and sit on a file cabinet. And I go, man, I want one of those. I want the where they have new bills when they give press government press release. They come down here and they start stuffing that in. You got nothing to do. You go over. I want one of those. How we get one of those for this is taking initiative. The Arizona Libertarian newspaper or a lot of the stuff that we were doing on a regular basis. I go, I want one because we had a box where they put legislation in for safe. Second Amendment is for everyone. At the beginning of the legislative session, you had to go like multiple times a day to have thousands of pieces of paper. You know, so we'd go there and get them. We'd go through them before they went online. We would actually sit down at a table at the party headquarters, and me and a lot of the guys, we just sit there going through, woo, look what they're trying to do here. Holy crap. So that's how we knew. Now it's online. So there was a transition there for a while. They got kind of funky. But now you can do it online. Well, that means they're already deciding stuff off, you know, in secret backroom filled same way anyway. But you can see the legislation. Well, but we're arguing for is I want, you know, our, you know, we're media, you know, we're journalists. I want this little thing right here that I can press release. It was just symbolic. I didn't give a crap. That wasn't the point. They go, nope. I go, how does this work? Walk me through it. How it worked was the president of the Senate was in charge of that room. And there was a liaison. Bob Scott was the news guy at one of the local radio stations that, you know, played ball. And he, and the president of the Senate determined who did or did not get press credentials or got a desk or you could do. They decided, and I kept pressing that freedom of information request and how does this work and who gets to do what. It's all just a game that they negotiate. The press is the lapdog of the politicians. And if they don't play, then they don't get the inside tittle of the, you know, the press release of you first to know the quote of
but that's all changing. I mean that going back to the first off, the reason I brought that up, the reason I brought that up is Donald Trump for the first time ever just a few days ago tweeted out that we're going to address or we need to address Section 230. And those, I'm not getting into it right now, but those of you who are listening to the show, that's the Communications and Decency Act of 1992, I think it was, or 94, whatever. And that was Section 230 regarding which eventually turned into the internet problem we have today, is are these social media big tech, Google and Facebook and Twitter and all the rest of them, are they public platforms or private publishers. And that is the issue I've talked a million times about. And I keep thinking, why aren't people aware? I mean, why hasn't this issue taken root yet? And I think most people just, I think that issue is ahead of where most people are. They haven't seen this problem marinate yet to where it is. The fact that now the president is bringing that up, I think it's going to be a major issue, assuming he gets reinstated there. But it's nice to see. I think this will be taken up. Now, Ernie, I already understand your point of view. You're like, I don't care about 230. I have IPFS and everyone can screw themselves. I want my catapult channel. So from that point of view, I agree and I get it. And ultimately the free market and ingenuity and American, I don't give a crap, I think should win out. But I still think though that this should be something that Americans to even be aware of that's been hindering and coercing them in ways in which they did not. So anyway, but that, and also last night with the VP debate, you know, one of the things you saw, and I heard a YouTuber.
We're going into break. All right. We got one more segment, but we got, we can record it on Zoom so we can do an after show and we can go long. We're going to go long because we need Dr. Frank to go long because he needs to go long. Because you got to extend it at the end because he was late in the beginning. We'll be right back with Dr. Frank Camberry and Trump Report. Yeah, because you were late. What a rep, man. The audience, they take bets. I guarantee it. Well, we're going to be on time today. Let's find out. Let's see. Yeah, I like Telegram. It works a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be. You know, they have I gotta leave this up here so I mention it.
Hey, by the way, and I know this is, as long as you can sum this up before the next section. So what's going on with Joe Jorgensen, the libertarians? Are they getting any traction at all? Or you know, Tim Pool, at least we'll give a call out once in a while, to be fair to the libertarians. I respect them for that. But are they doing – I don't see them anymore.
No, it was just a – you know, the whole effort was trying to pull some from Trump or something. I don't know what the hell. They don't want a spark. It's a Coke thing. And up here in Bangor, there are some Joe Jorgensen's – signs are on the white, and it's this light powder blue. You can't even read it. And I'm going, who the hell did this? What are they thinking? So they're just a non, I don't even know. I'd be shocked if, I don't know what they're thinking.
Well, I'm kind of surprised that the Democrats didn't do more to try to make them slightly more Trump loving, if for no other reason to siphon off Trump votes. It just seems ridiculous because it's not working anymore.
Nobody's buying it. That's why.
Well, I mean, trying to become more Democrat is not going to, all it's going to do is take away votes from Democrats. That's why I have a hard time. I'm not trying to doubt you necessarily, but it's hard to think that the Democrats or any kind of influence, you know, when they're trying to become more leftist, and that libertarian meeting that you and I went to with the economic discussion group, and the speaker sounded like he was from CNN speaking about, you know, about white privilege and this and that and that. I'm thinking, if that's the direction of the Libertarian Party, and if that's being funded by Democrats, are you kidding me? It seems like it's funded by Republicans, apparently, and that's probably what your point is. But I don't know. I don't understand it.
No. Hell no. Bill Weld is not Republican. They're left.
The coca puss, yeah, which was one more.
Yeah, coca puss. Yeah.
Conservative.
Left. Yeah. No, they're the ones that's bringing it left. They're the ones doing bake the cake, and we need a flat tax, and we got to go. If you go over here a little bit more woke and left, and you'll get money. You know, we got some money for you. If you can do this, you can get a job. And so these guys that have no principles, you know, it's just like the Libertarian Party has shiny badges just like everybody else. And you get people that they want to get their shiny badge. And I'm going, I understand. I see it. Here, hold on a second.
Yeah, but the thing is, but the coca puss.
I got to untangle something.
See how long Ernie takes here.
There we
There he is. Oh, he's there. So what I was going to say is that the Kokopus, though, in many ways is similar to the Lincoln Project. And I assume you know the Lincoln Project is basically all the Never Trumpers that have consolidated, like Mr. Magoo, John Kasich, and Mitt Romney, and then McCain's wife.
Yeah, they're all connected. They're all overlapping.
That's my point, but they're all supporting the Democrat nominee. So even if you're Republican trying to get rid of Trump by supporting Democrats, and if you're that's what you're thinking the Libertarians should be more like.
All right, hold on. We're coming back. You can tell us all about it. Hold on. You want to say hey to Frank?
Hey, Frank.
And Dr. Frank Tamburi, Trump Report. All right, Derek, say hey, Frank.
Hey, Frank.
And, you know, he says hey. You know,
hey, buddy.
You know what's interesting to me is how much I know every now and then, I don't know how much, but it's definitely, you know, James Corbett listens to Trump Report. You got an old Frank, man.
Hey, James, how you doing, buddy?
You just represent. He goes, yeah. You know, Frank represents. Represents what? I don't know. He represents them.
Them.
You know, this is what we get on last night. He comes on and I go, you know, I go, watch this, Derek. I'm gonna give, you know, James some crap here. And I go, hey, we're another episode of Declare Your Independence with James Corbett. We're going to give him the choice. We can talk about the vice presidential debates or anything else. Yeah, I think I'll choose the second one. But
we're arguing about the Kokopus and the influence, the Libertarians' influence on this election. And my argument is that if the Kokopus, which is kind of like, you know, it's like the never Trumper, neocon kind of wing that's infiltrated Libertarians, like the Lincoln Project, many of you have seen online with YouTube videos, mm-hmm. like John Kasich and McCain's wife and all the rest of them, all the sellouts, at least the way Trump people will see it. But the thing is, if that's the direction of the Kokopus and you're trying to siphon votes away from this new Republican Party towards Democrats, well, then why would you switch the Libertarian Party and become more leftist? Because you're just going to take votes away from Democrats that you're trying to, you know, that you need as many as possible to take on Trump. That's my question. I don't understand it.
There's no understanding. they think if you, there's a lot of Libertarians or Republicans that can't vote for Trump, and they're not really want to vote for the Democrat. So I'm principled this week and I'm going to vote, you know, Libertarian or so. I have no idea. They believe that at least 1-3% of people that can be convinced to vote, you know, campaign for Libertarians, if a Libertarian's in the race, that brings down a few percent of the Republic. That's the modus operandi that they operate from. You know this. You had, you know, $60,000 that the Democrats pulled
right
to try and get you on the ballot for Senate.
Exactly.
You know, yep. They, of course, they do a bad job. They never do anything. I mean, they did the same thing with Barry Hess this year. Spent a bunch of money, dad screwed it up. I mean, they're just so inept. It's a lot of these guys that come up with this idea. They go to a rich guy and we're going to do this, and they take their cut and then they never do it. These guys are so inept, but their goals are jacked up. I mean, it's just all fluff. It's not anything real where we're trying, you know. I got to mention this. I meant to do this earlier. Midfest is a festival in Oklahoma, I think it's Oklahoma. And they have Liberty Wears No Mask Love Bus Liberty Tour signs that they have on a white school bus that they got, you know? So I'm going, cool. So they, you know, Midfest is going on now, I think. You know, they're, you know, hanging out in middle of the country, and they've been doing this a few years. It's just kind of been going. So we have a bunch of signs that are being produced, and we have new ones. What's a slogan or something you think is cool that should go up that doesn't have Trump in it?
Well, I don't know if it's a symbol, but this is a little tangential. Did you see just the other day the Hasidic Jews from New York? Did you see what happened?
Yeah, they were, I don't know, burning their...
They're burning their masks. They were told they were not allowed to congregate on the Jewish holiday. And now you got the Jews all coming together saying enough is enough from the liberals there in New York. That's astounding. I mean, to see all these... Guys, if you haven't seen the video, you have to see it. all these Hasidic Jews with their beards and everything and fantastic. And you never, they're like the Amish almost of New York City. And they're all sitting there in this giant powwow and they're like take over a street. And they're burning their masks in the middle of the street and defying the cops. So I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, did the brown shirts come and kick the crap out of them?
That's an image that's just seared in my mind. I mean, I really is. And I still don't understand how the Jewish community is not behind Donald Trump. I mean, he sat there, he moved the embassy. You know, you've got the head of Israel, the prime minister, who basically gives Donald Trump a foot massage. And then you've got what, two or three now peace, the Nobel Peace Prize the nominations because of his working of peace with the Middle East and the Arab Emirates and all of this. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I don't know
why. Donald Trump didn't get nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize.
What? Three times.
No, he didn't. I haven't seen it on the news.
It's not stop watching CNN, Ernie. That's your problem. You're watching Rachel Maddow, man. That's your problem. You got to stop it.
You know, the one thing that I think he said it in the debate, you know, or somewhere. He was up. Oh, no. It was on one of his campaign stump speech things. He goes, you know, you're president of the United States of America, been nominated for three Nobel Peace Prizes, not a single word out of these guys. Nothing. I mean, if that doesn't tell you everything right there.
You have to be more important and do more things like Barack Obama did. So anyway, they're undermining that. And that's the thing that these people, they're so, it's something that I remember Rush Limbaugh talking about this years ago. And I have to give credit to Rush after all this. You know, he used to say that one reason that he could, do his show with half his brain tied behind his back, which was his little moniker until, of course, he got busted for the drug issue, which I'm not making fun of him for it, but, you know, that was what he used to say. But the thing is, he used to always say years ago, and he said this seriously, he was not trying to be mocking, which he can be, but he said, the reason I'm good at my job is because I understand liberals more than most people. In other words, I know how they think and I can predict what they do before they do it. And I used to always wonder how he's able to do that. And the older I get, I see it now. So I can, and granted, maybe it's transparent, of course, with the internet, yet more of us have access to watching how these things play out. Before, we were told how the liberals did things because they owned the media. I think Rush Limbaugh was behind the scenes enough, he could see what was happening underneath, like he had his own YouTube channel. So the thing is, though, when you watch them, you can predict their movements ahead of time. And one of the things that they're just classic with, and I don't want to, establishment Republicans are as bad in their own way, but they didn't control the media. The thing is they're so short-sighted. They have learned that since they controlled the media all the time, that they didn't look for the long game. It didn't matter. They can control the long game because when you control the media, you control history. And you can rewrite whatever past events happen. The problem with conservatives and the reason Republicans are icon are whatever is the elephant is aside from being stubborn and slow and blah, 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 is that we never forget. Republicans remember and we're libertarians too. I mean,
Trump, Tamburi just outed himself. He's Republican now.
No. Oh, God. No. My point is that people who follow this, we tend to have memories, whereas normie out there who barely pays attention except 2 or 3 months before the election, as you properly point out, you know, they have no memory with this. So whatever a president or someone said 5 months ago, they don't remember. I mean, the debate last night, you've got Kamala Harris sitting there saying, oh, yeah, well, fracking, Joe Biden has never said anything against fracking. He's for fracking. And yet, if you have half a memory, you know that's not what he said. But it's astounding they get away with it. But I think they've been able to because of the memory hole, all the 1984 setup that the media has done for decades, and it's falling apart on them.
Before we run out of time, I want to make a point on this. During our discussion that we had after the debate, John Q made a good point. He goes, they're just seeding the AI. This is for a decade later.
Yeah.
They're just throwing all this stuff up to kind of have the impact, whatever, for future. We don't report this news. We put this, we emphasize that, we pump that. We got to purge all these guys off the internet so that 10 years from now, they won't even know that this stuff happened. But what's the one thing that they can't stop? Signs. You bypass all. See, everybody thinks that, I don't have enough multimedia platform. you know, online magazine, newspapers. We tried everything. We do a bunch of, we got it whenever we need it. We'll pull that out too when we need it. But you know, the thing that I know is the most effective for the people making them and putting them up is the mental health that they get. But it's all also inspiring. I can't even keep track of how many times I've heard decades later people about, you know, whatever sign we put up. Hell, that's how you knew about the Levolution, was from a freaking sign, I bet.
Ernie, but before the music comes up, I just want to say for those who want to do the, if you guys want the after show, we'll be talking about President and the COVID-19 diagnosis. We'll talk about that too.
Maybe. You know what? You know, what I want to talk about is the psych test that came out. Frank made me take, yeah, you're a conservative Republican, Ernie. Yeah, the test. You will pull up that test. We'll do the test. Now I want to do that test. Now, what's it? All right, we'll get, go to the after show. And we're going to do that test. It's the stupidest test. The reason
no, it's not.
It was stupid. It presupposed a bunch of stupid.
You overthought it. Everyone else came out.
Of course I did. You know, because there's something behind it. It's the way that. All right, go to the after show. Hold on. After the music, we'll get to it just a little bit. Stay right there. All right, recording. We'll put this up.
That's the funniest damn thing. Every person who's taken, including Savarda, has come out libertarian or libertarian conservative.
I know what they wanted to be libertarian.
Comes out conservative.
I could make it a perfect libertarian if I wanted to. I go, this is a stupid question. And I go, and if I answer it either way, you know, that they go, oh, yeah, you're a libertarian. Says who? Your stupid effing test? This is the dumbest thing I have. All right. Let's do it. What was the webpage? You remember?
It's called the moralities test. So it's put in the political morality test on Google, and then let me see what comes up. Yeah, it should come right up. I'll do it with you.
All right.
So I'll take it for
the audience, and you can see why I think it's so stupid.
Well, no, it's because the way you interpret the question. A, you're overthinking it and trying to outsmart the people behind
it. I wasn't trying to outsmart it. I was not going to let them get the pleasure.
No, you were. I give you credit, man. That's how you are. I get it. But it was not designed the way you interpret the question.
Morality test out of service.
Yeah, right. So what this is, we chatted before a few weeks ago on this, but for those of you, check it out. A lot of it's kind of going doing its rounds. It's like the Myers-Briggs for politics. And in essence, it's trying to sense.
Well, tell me what to look up. I want to pull it up. What do I call it?
All right. Well, let me see then. I'll just try to chat while you're doing that. Let's see.
Nope. Everybody's waiting. They want to go do it too. You need to go do it. And I'll give them a chance to answer on their own as they do it.
It's called the moral. It's called the moral foundations test.
Moral
foundations test. Yeah, it should come right up.
Moral foundation.
And the idea is that, and it seems to be fairly consistent, and people on both sides have been taking this, and you seem to score well at where you're at, except for Ernie Hancock, of course.
Is that IDRlabs.com, that one?
Yes, that's it. That's it. The same one that he did. And so the idea, though, is that we all make judgments of our life and how we look at politics. And there's five categories, which Ernie will let rattle off because I forget them all. It's like loyalty and culture and different things and whatever. We'll read them off. But there's five of them. The concept is that people on the left tend to only use two of them, but they're extremely strong. It's like justice and some other, which we'll get to. But the idea is that's why it seems to be that liberals turn their brain off when conservatives tend to use all five. Now we'll get to libertarians in a second, but conservatives tend to use all five at different levels, which means that they're more well-rounded. Now, and granted, this test was not written by a conservative.
All right, I'm going to need more coffee for this one. Donna, can I get some more coffee?
It was not. The whole idea is just showing is that conservatives are not really high in one. They're more spread out. So they'll look at things from different angles, whereas liberals often don't. And I think many of us have found this. If for no other reason, we have, just countless examples, but I think immigration is a good example where people will debate it. Like a libertarian and conservative we'll have a great debate about immigration. We'll go back and forth about different concepts, you know, about the funding and whether or not you should have a wall and, you know, to keep people out. And Ron Paul rightfully says, well, a wall could keep people in. And you could go round and round with very good discussions from a libertarian and conservative version of the benefits or positives of immigration. But when you talk to a liberal, it's like no matter what you say, their brain goes out the window and they say, yeah, but little children are crying and they want a better life. What's wrong with you? Right? Now, all of us have encountered
See, this is all subjective, even the test and the...
And that's what the moral... I'm almost done my rant here, Arneen, but since you're bringing this up. That's what the moral foundations test is kind of letting people know is where, how do you make your judgments politically?
They're not letting people know. They're directing what they know. This is, all right,
go ahead. Tell me how wrong it is.
Why use this test? One, it's free online. You get, because it's free. Agenda free. While social science work and politics and regarding the validity of moral instincts is often distorted in service of interested parties, this test has been made with the aid of respondents from all sides of the political spectrum and aims to be agenda-free. Bullshit, okay? It is, and we're gonna take this test, and you can see.
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
You really want to spend the time taking this? All right.
Hell yeah.
With the rest
it's 36 of you, questions. Everything we're going to talk about is going to come out in this stupid test.
This must have been really burning at you all this time. There's all this stuff going on in the news and COVID and everything else. I mean, I don't mind. That's your show.
No, this is it. Do your Trump COVID playing the game of I got a mask and I go out and visit with the people and I'm not afraid. You don't be afraid. And I did two days of I sick and now I'm not sick and bring it on. And then they want to do a remote debate, which is bullshit. I'm with him, man. Screw it. I'll have a rally, you know. But the go ahead and give me your COVID Trump thing. Go. Let's get that out of the way. Go. I want to get into this thing.
This is a perfect example of
bullshit.
You've been this upset about coming out.
I hadn't even thought about it until you brought it up.
You've been losing sleep over this. This is
fantastic. I hadn't even thought about it. I don't give a crap. Oh, no. Not COVID.
All right, well,
Trump COVID. Go.
All right, I don't want to waste too much time if we're going to get to the test. Right? So, by the way, while I'm wasting time apparently talking about current events, the rest of you, check it out. Ernie, what is the website again? Because those of you listening right now, you can follow along and do the test questions with Ernie.
It's idrlabs.com/morality/6/test.php. But if you just put in moral foundations test, it'll come up.
Yeah, it's there we go.
Okay, moral foundations test. So he tells us Trump COVID. You guys pull that up. Just get ready. Go ahead and do it. We'll walk through.
I'll give my opinion
of how BS and stupid this thing is because it's another control mechanism. You know, and it like the Myers-Briggs, I thought was, and it uses the style of Myers-Briggs. Yeah. I thought the Myers-Briggs, you know, was effective. I thought it gave you, you know, a good way of. Good questions kind of get, you know, where the way your mind works. So I thought that to be effective.
Ernie, when we start the test, I'm going to tell you exactly why you failed the test.
I don't give a crap.
I'm going to explain to you later about what you did because you overthought
That's why
you answered it. All right, we'll get to it in a minute. So anyway, so first off, just a couple of little talking points, then we'll finish. So,
he admitted that if you come out Republican conservative, you fail the test.
All right, so man, I got to talk to Don off the air. I think you've been losing sleep. All right, so first off, as far as with the vice president debate, I just a couple points. I mean, I don't want to rehash what a lot of you guys are probably hearing already on different news sites and whatever you listen to. You know, many people think that Pence won. You know, however you define won. You know, obviously it's all their point of view. But even the Democrats feel as if that they lost. Now, does a VP debate going to change anything? Probably not. However, this debate, I want to point out, had a little more oomph to it. Why? Because we all know that the real president who could be president is Harris. It's not Biden. He's going to be retiring and going to a senior home, assuming that he'll even win.
This is a Harris presidency.
That was Harris. And think about it. You got three presidential debates, but really the debate should be Trump versus Harris for three times. But instead you get one shot and he's against milquetoast Mike Pence. And yet still, she did not outperform him. And I will tell you, I was surprised. I really was thinking, because she's a pit bull. Now, it's funny is that one of the critiques that she has gotten from everyone has been, and of course, the left is trying to explain it as, well, Mike Pence spent the time mansplaining to Kamala Harris. Like, all of a sudden, now Kamala Harris is a victim of a man who's mansplaining, right? I mean, this is ridiculous. But the thing is that she kept smiling and having that smirk. And I've heard so many commentators on all sides talk about how that just did not do well with viewers.
I'm annoyed.
It was that arrogance and that smile and that smirk. And it was so funny because I already know the answer. And many people said it was very reminiscent of what debate? Of
Hillary.
Donald Trump and whoever else it was versus Barack Obama versus Hillary Clinton. And why am I smiling? Not quite the way Kamala Harris does. And
she lost.
it's because both of them, and I've said this on the air, in my opinion, are antisocial. They're both sociopaths. And that's what happens when you have a sociopath. When you challenge them, that's what they do. They start smirking and they do that funny laugh.
Kamala Harris ran for, gotta remember, she ran for the Democratic nomination and she was the pick of Clinton's. You know, she's been this, the pick for I tell you what it reminds me of. It was, ex-CIA director, ambassador UN to China, scumbag, since the Warren Report back and through his father's lineage and down his son and Daddy Bush. And this was when Reagan became president, they're going, the only way you're going to see the White House is as a tourist or dead if you don't have George Bush as your VP guy.
Yeah.
So I'm sure the same thing went to Biden. Guess who's your person who we wanted from the beginning? Kamala Harris, because this is a Kamala Harris for president election. That's what's going on.
Exactly. And if long-term viewers or listeners know, I've brought up many times, Kamala Harris was the main pitbull, one of the main pitbulls for the Senate committee on defending Hillary Clinton during the Benghazi hearings. I know Kamala Harris very well. And anyone that watched all 11 hours of the Benghazi hearing twice, like I suffered through, know Kamala Harris because she was the pitbull. She was the lead prosecutor. And she, in my opinion, is a sociopath, which is exactly what Hillary Clinton likes. And that is also, she's minority, she's female, obviously, and she is in bed with the deep state, and she knows all the corruption.
Literally.
So literally, she knows the corruption because she defended the corruption for years with these hearings. You need to understand that. So the fact that the media did everything to put her on top after that first primary and the primary debate, and of course, they did everything to put her to the top and people were not biting. It's like, what she's like? She reminds me of New Coke. They put New Coke. You got to love New Coke. Bill Cosby, drink New Coke. And people just said, I don't want this crap. And that's what happened. Even during the primary, the first primary, Kamala Harris was smart enough. I don't know if you remember this, Ernie. She ditched she bailed from the primary election before the first votes came out. Because she knew she was going to lose not only bad, she was going to lose her home state of California. She was not even going to win that state.
Yeah, no, she's down 1-2% or some crap.
Yeah, like so when you know you're going to have such bad, to use a CNN term, optics, well, and you have a political career that you still want to milk out, well, she bailed early, probably made a deal that she would be first running as a VP pick because she had all the boxes, including the secret box, which was she was a secret insider for the Clintons and for the corrupt DNC. So you need to understand this whole thing. I've said a million times on the show.
Yeah, you're giving her too much credit that she made a decision.
I didn't say she did. I'm talking about the Clintons. I didn't say she did. The Clintons. I mean, Kamala Harris is like the perfect, the new minion to take over. Savard and I, Savard never saw it before. We watched the original Fright Night from 1984 or whatever. That was a great movie. But you have a vampire because it's Halloween now. You have a vampire and you have a minion. And the minion's job is to keep everything safe while the vampire sleeps.
Yeah, the familiars. All these people are familiars.
There you go. Yeah, great.
You'll get turned. If I kiss enough ass and do enough for the
You know, for a vampire, maybe turn me into vampire.
Exactly. That's what she is. She's a familiar. That's exactly how I saw her. That's what she, that's her role. And so anyway, so she, they're bringing her in. They thought that she'd be a
great. But I get my references from Blade.
And even if, and I said, I already know that they know they're going to lose. They know they're going to lose this. And I, but it's not about her winning the presidency, even if she was the nominee. It was who would be in control of the Democrat Party. And I've said a million times that it's, you know, whoever wins the primary, even if you lose the presidency, you control your party. And they don't want Bernie Sanders or Pete Buttigieg or anybody to be running this party with all the secrets and the Brian Epstein crap and everything that they're going to need to protect when Donald Trump and the entire system and the courts go against them, where they might start pulling, actually start indicting people for all this corruption. They're going to need somebody on their side. And that's probably why they put Kamala Harris, and they've done everything to protect her. They've protected her more than they protected Barack Obama for president. And I just can't stress that enough. So anyway, that's what happened for this debate. It was really Harris running. They know Biden is out and Harris will be president. That was the overall deal.
Well, if I go through all this, does Pence come out as presidential? I mean, is he, you know, like,
well, he does. If you, I don't know. I mean, look, I personally,
well, I mean, you know, I just need to know if, you know,
I can't stand Pence. I respect him as a person. I think he's for a politician, he's people are going to hate me for saying this. I think for a politician, he has some values, I think, and some, I don't know. I think he kind of,
why do you dislike him
direction.
So much? Because he doesn't arm wrestle Kim Young grandson or something? I mean, what are you looking for?
Who, Pence?
Yeah.
Pence? No, well, Pence was picked. First off, Pence was picked because, do you happen to know who worked for Pence back in the day?
I don't know. He's definitely a Christian right, you know.
No, I'll tell you. I'll tell you how Pence got into this picture. Because he was a nobody, milk toast, you know, blah, 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 vanilla, boring, the last person, but the first person someone like Donald Trump would need. Someone who is very skilled, but very, like you wouldn't know by looking at him, and he doesn't get in the way and will not overshadow the president and will be a ballast. It will be like the opposite to Donald Trump's yang. He needs the yin. And that was what Pence was. That Pence was introduced to him at the last minute. That's the question. Who else was he looking for VP? At the last minute, it was Kellyanne Conway. Kellyanne Conway used to work for Pence. That's how he was introduced to him. That's how he was introduced to him. So they had a dinner.
Oh, I got to do this story on Kellyanne. Her daughter is just being, God, this is what happens when you let kids, on their phone all the time. But she's got her own little file. She's, you know, getting that dopamine hit, serotonin, whatever. She's like, woo, I'm getting a lot of love from.
I'm popular.
You know, I'm popular because I, you know, make fun of my mom and saying that she had COVID and didn't tell anybody. And there's in the background, Kellyanne, and she's live streaming. She goes, you're fucking lying about your mother? On you little. Well, you know, it's my interpretation of you. And that's all I need. I don't care. And I. You got issues when, you know, your kids, whatever. So she stepped aside. I'm wondering, 10 years from now, when that kid's 25, looks back at what a little shit she was, or she'll just go purple hair and nose rings or something. I mean,
Well, she'll probably, if CNN's even around, the thing is she's got an instant job, just like Chelsea Clinton, to be on all these shows. So she has a job. That's what's going on. Anyway, so
well, I
wanted to point out,
McCain.
So as far as with Pence, this is kind of maybe a nothing point, but I just found it interesting. A little tidbit was that the Democrats, when the Kamala Harris did her preparing for this debate, so-called debate, when she did it, they used, get this, her sparring partner, her mock Mike Pence, was played by Pete Buttigieg, whatever his name is.
What?
So they had.
How do you have a gay, you know, politician play Pence? How does that even work?
Exactly. Well, you know, no, I thought, well, that's a funny point. But I think it makes sense, aside from just being a white man, but it's because he's so vanilla. Pete Buttigieg was, he's just as boring as possible. He's like the Democrat version, a young version of Mike Pence. And so I think it was a good play, but at the same time,
a young dark-haired Democrat lefty leading homosexual version of Pence, you're saying?
Exactly. But it shows also, like, a lot of people in the tweets are coming in last night. Do not underestimate Pence. I mean, Trump knows talent when he sees it, and Pence just comes off as this unassuming, yeah, well, here we are, blah, blah, blah. But
the guy was a governor.
He was masterful last night. I mean, taking on Kamala Harris, who I thought was going to, you know, she missed so many opportunities, to be honest with you. Pence dominated, I think. And
most of the media. Well, I'll have it in the background while I'm doing editing or something just to say I did. But
all right. And then and just one.
I'm sure I want to say I did.
You know, all right. So last couple of things here. Of course, the nail in the fracking. The other big point with the debate, and I know Donald Trump is going to slam this. This is going to be one of the main points the Republicans are going to nail home. Thank God. You know, usually prior presidents never did anything that the people really wanted to hammer home. They would argue about things that no one really cared about. Trump is pretty good with this. He has the pulse of the people. Sometimes he misses it. Like I said earlier, the internet censorship deal, I think he is not really tapping into the anger that people feel. And I don't know if that's by design or not. But the one thing that they're hammering now is the court packing. And Pence hammered a few times. That wasn't a few times he really did interrupt during his time. And she did everything to avoid that question. And he would not let her off the hook. He came back two or three times about are you going to answer the question? Court packing. So that, I'm really, really happy that they're hammering that point. I mean, that's dangerous. I mean, even Democrats, moderates need to understand that, put it this way. It shows the arrogance of the modern liberal movement. And I give them some credit or some understanding, not credit, because, you know, when you've been in the driver's seat for so long, if you're a child, you're a toddler, and everything you want, you get, you know, every time you ask for candy and you get it and this and that, and all of a sudden your parents finally decide to do tough love and they say no, and the kid has a temper tantrum from hell. That's pretty much what's going on with the Democrats. They cannot wrap their head around the fact or even acknowledge that they have been in the driver's seat controlling the courts and controlling the overall culture and the legal system through the Supreme Court for 70 years. 70 years they have controlled it since FDR, and they've controlled it. And the first time in 70 years, Republicans might have control, and they flip out as if the Russians are invading, the sky's falling, and they have to do whatever it takes to court pack, to change California into three states, D.C. statehood, Puerto Rico. We'll talk to Peter Schiff on that one. All of this because they have to change the rules. It's all they know how to do. So this is and for 70 years, I got to point this out, Republicans are they're dicks as well through the establishment in many ways. Trust me, guys, I'm not a diehard Republican here. I'm a Trumper, but not a Republican. But I'll tell you what, you know, Republicans, to their credit, why don't you take a stiff drink with that one, Ernie? But the thing is, for 70 years, the Republicans never sat there and said, well, we have all these babies are getting killed. And I'm not trying to argue the abortion debate here. I'm just saying Republicans and conservatives, if this whole thing is about Roe v. Wade as an example, granted that hasn't been 70 years, it's been 50 years, but still, you could argue that in their mind, they believe babies or fetuses, life is being killed millions every year, right? And yet still, they never went to the point of saying we're going to court pack because they're the minority. For 70 years or 50, however you might want to look at it, they never reached to such a low idea of changing the rules. I think it's important to bring that out. So for Democrats to think like it's liable to do it.
Oh, Republicans would never stack the court or do any thing badly. You're assuming they're any different. They're all part of the left jackboot, the right jackboot, and jackboot on your.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that they're innocent. I'm not trying to defend them from policy. I'm just saying that at least at the end of the day, they tend to follow the Constitution as much as well.
Oh my God!
Wait! I know. Wait! I know that's a loaded minefield. Let me. I'm not. I'm at the deepest.
Wait, why are you behind, man?
Well, look, what I'm saying is Republicans, when they don't get their way, they don't start looking to hack up Texas and the three states, pack the Congress, pack the courts, and change the fundamental rules of the Senate, like Harry Reid did, which is a nice gift for Donald Trump. My point is they change things at the most fundamental level when they don't get their way. I mean, Republicans have cheated. I'm not trying to defend Republicans, trust me. But as far as how they've handled the world and – lied about, you know, about the weapons of mass destruction and their wars. And I mean, I could go all day bashing them, but I'm saying at the fundamental level, they've been playing by the rules ultimately of the Constitution, at least more than the Democrats do. The Democrats don't even know what it is, and they change the rules when it's appropriate. And now that modernism and liberalism and globalism is on the ropes, literally, we're getting to the 8 count now before the 10 count being called out. They're now pulling everything possible, whether it's the mail-in voting problem or changing the rules here and there. So anyway, I just think it's a very important point that Pence brought up, and Donald Trump needs to hammer it more. And I think that...
Okay, now all this rant that you just did was a Pence thing?
Well, it wasn't just Pence. It's about the Republicans.
Well, you said what Pence brought up. Pence brought up...
Yeah, no, he did. He did. He brought it up. That was the one time, one of the main
okay, things. Okay, skip to the end. Pence brought Kamala up what?
Well, he attacked Kamala Harris multiple times on the court packing issue and wouldn't let her back down. And Kamala Harris could not answer the question at all, which is why I think that it's one of the last bridges they have with the leftists. Now, I listen to a lot of leftist commentaries, the Humanist Report. They're kind of like offshoots of the Young Turks, for somebody to listen. So I listen to the down into the gutter, far leftist stuff where most Trump people are not even there. I could tell because they don't have many dislikes on these sites. So they feel like they have free reign to say whatever they want. And I peruse these all the time. And they are determined. They have, to them, that's like a fait accompli. They're going to pack the courts. And that is the deal, probably, they've made with the leftists.
But which is what? They're going to increase the number to 12 or something?
Whatever it takes, as long as they're back in control. Because God forbid, 70 years of control is not enough. God forbid. You know, whatever happened to fairness and diversity? Diversity and everything but an opinion, right? Then they have to pack the courts. That's the arrogance of these people. I'm just trying to point out. 70 years they've had control, and they can't even recognize this. And the minute they're not in control, they want to blow the system up, and they want riots and everything to shut it down. It shows how just arrogant and like being a toddler. You know what it is? They're addicted to power. They're addicts. And when you have an addict and you keep wanting bigger and bigger hits, and when someone finally cuts you off
Thank
from your
God,
mess.
I can't believe you say Democrats, if it doesn't, they're all the same. Add Max Egan on, and we were talking.
I'm talking about, but controlling the courts, Ernie, has been a significant part of this. When you control the courts, then
you know, that was one thing that Trump brought up, because you left me 100 and something blank. Okay, I'll fill them.
So the thing is, just real quick. When you control the courts, you ultimately in time control the culture. When you control the culture, then it makes it easier, especially with the media. And they've controlled the culture through the media and through the courts this entire time. I mean, I'm not trying to give Republicans a way out, but like they're all, you know, pure as snow. That's not my point. I got voted Libertarian my whole life, except for recently. But the thing is, those two, they have owned the culture that way, and that's where the whole modernism, globalism things comes from. All that's crashing around them, and they don't know how to stop the hemorrhaging, whether it's controlling the internet and the censorship, the things that you're talking about, IPFS and that 230 and with the media and of course the Hillary Clinton emails. I mean, all of the stuff that they thought they had in control is all falling apart. Anyway, I don't get too many topics, but that's ultimately, I think he did a great job. I think that the Democrats showed that Kamala Harris, who is supposed to be, I think everyone knows, is the true presidential pick. And did she come off presidential? Did she come off that take on Mike Pence? The fact is, I think she did not do well. Democrats think that themselves from all the after shows. They're frustrated with her performance. In so many ways, I think that was more powerful.
She wasn't woke enough or something? I mean, what do they care?
Well, I think they thought she would dominate against Pence. Many people looked at Pence as just a quiet hermit, you know, easy guy to take on.
No, thought that she could bombast him and do it. And then, of course,
she's the Hillary Clinton.
She started, they go, oh, we're going to agree to the 2 minutes. Of course, she didn't. I mean, you know.
I think they
ruled against him. I got to get going, so we got to do these last thing. Oh, God.
Last thing is the COVID. Do you have any comments on the COVID? I mean, you and I ended the show last week. Trump got COVID, and now he's out. So we missed that whole news cycle. But
no, the bottom line is he played it against him. They go, you know, this is what the Democrats behind the scenes were saying. You didn't really get COVID because there is no COVID. You faked it. You didn't. Yeah.
you took it out of our playbook and you got COVID and now you're getting the numbers up and the COVID and you showed people it wasn't a big deal and that you're cured now and it was a few days I sick and then you're done and you did a lot of harm to people, make them think it's not serious because it's not, and you didn't even really have it because we know because it's all fake. So I'm just going, yeah, he just shoved it up and broke it off. You know, so now, you know, it's such a game.
Well, for you, but Ernie, I mean, come on, you're missing the point. I know this audience.
That was the point.
That. No, the point is you and this audience are going to know this. But the thing is, the average, you know, the people that they're trying to influence and brainwash, the fewer people that are there, they've been scared to stay in their houses to the point that they're not even voting. And now, of course, you've got Michelle Obama and the Democrats since Mitt Romney decided to vote for the Supreme Court, you know, before the election.
He says,
all of a sudden they've switched their whole goal. Now they're saying, go out and you have to vote now because Donald Trump is not going to allow the mail-in ballots to go. So now they know they've screwed themselves at that point, ultimately because they've scared everybody to stay home. And Donald Trump doing what he's done as an older man who they claim is obese all the time, right? Which is not that obese, but when they sit there and they hammer him and they went on and on about his pulse ox reading at 94, CNN spent like 2 hours talking about pulse ox, trying to make it a bigger deal than this thing is, that he's dying is dying. And then Trump gave his speech that he did that's already a commercial on YouTube. And I have to tell you, it's one of the most beautiful little commercials, whatever you want to call it, I've seen him do. At least it touched me, maybe not the rest of you. It's the one that he did a few days ago when he got out of Walter Reed, he took off his mask on camera, and then he sat there and he spoke to the people from the balcony. And essentially the key point was, don't be afraid of this. It's like he was talking to real Americans.
No, I appreciated
saying,
that was part of the plan.
No, but I think it's heartfelt. It's really how he believes. You know, you have to fight. And that's what this comes down to. This is nothing different than the global warming issue and the communist issue, which is the ultimate fight of this country and the bifurcation. And maybe it's in our brains or it's how we're taught. I don't know. Are you better dead than red or better red than dead? And that's the same issue here. So basically he's saying, yes, I know it can be killing. Trump only had a 1% chance he would have died from it. Statistically, it was only 1%. You would not know that watching the media, but still 1% is high if you 1% of all of American population, but still, is it worth it? He's saying, stop being afraid. Don't be in your basements. Look at me, I'm an old man. I'm doing all of this and I came back. We're Americans, you older people, saw what our grandparents, our parents did in World War II, the greatest generation. Would they hide in fear in their basements? I don't think so. And that's kind of in code what he was saying. And I felt that. I don't know, maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid, but I'll tell you, that was a fantastic speech.
I thought it was a really good use of this whole thing and shove it back in their face. He did it and they got pissed off. And I'm like, well, what do you think was going to happen? You know, you made the game and he played it better than you and you're just pissed off. So I'm, you know, whatever. All right. I got to get going. So we got to do this test thing.
All right. Do the test. Let's go.
We got to whip through it because it's 36 questions.
All right. Go.
You go. There. You go to Moral Foundations test. Hell, they're probably finished with it already. All right. So I'm going to go through this and give my spiel. I'm just going to answer them. And then, you know, then he can explain why I'm a communist and whatever. I don't know. Where to go. Question one. In sex education class, I already don't care. Sex education class. Whose class? Who's making this? Or education? What is that? See, I'm already pissed off. I haven't read the question.
Ernie, I'm not gonna keep interrupting you. I just wanted to say in the very beginning.
Yeah, you are.
The point is, what you were doing last time, in my opinion, because you have to answer like to the you really agree, you disagree.
Shit.
Or the middle, which is like, I don't care. And I think Ernie's thing was Ernie doesn't care as a libertarian. I don't care what you might do socially or whatever. And that's fine. I'm not trying to answer for you. But the thing is, the question is, do you agree or disagree with the statement? I think if you don't care, you're supposed to put disagree. You are putting neutral down for all.
No,
of
God dang it. All right.
I thought that's what you were doing.
Right. Shut up, man. Let me do it.
Go ahead and answer.
Can't you
go
just
answer.
Shut up, man? You know,
go ahead and answer. Yeah,
all right, this is what the deal is. I'll give you a perfect example. During it was called the Arizona Center for Public Policy. They're a Christian group that did these questionnaires to all the candidates, and then they took the results and a trifold, and they passed them out at all the churches in Arizona. You know, they, mm-hmm. all right, Christians, this is what, how these guys answered the question. They were stupid questions. One went like this. This is along the line of this first question. They go, do you believe that free speech applies to the public library where a child can go onto a library computer and watch porn? Do you believe that? Can't answer the question. So when I go to church and they go, hey, Ernie, you didn't answer this question. Congressionally, I go, because libertarians don't believe there should be publicly funded libraries. Hell, it's a trick question from the beginning. Should we have government-funded libraries and then they decide and people, blah, blah, blah. I go, there's your problem before it even started that I'm publicly funding the library. I go, you know, I can't answer that question. That's just stupid from the beginning. They're already presupposing that I believe that there should be sex education class. Paid for by whom? And who's going to, I want to have Uncle Sam teaching my kids about sex education? I mean, I got to presuppose that before I even read the rest of the effing question. So I'm just going, this is stupid. Then they had, because it was a big deal, they had these adult social clubs where people go and have group sex or something. They had like these, you know, nobody knew they were there until they tried to make a big issue out of it in the 90s or something. And they go, ooh, do you believe that consensual adults should be consensually having sex consensually behind this consensual thing? And I'm like, what role is it of the government to do that? Oh, you're a bag. I can't answer this.
All right, Ernie, all right. We have to get through the test. But all I'm saying is, why is it ever the libertarian I've given it to or to take it came out libertarian but you? So somehow I think you're interpreting the questions differently. But let's go do the test and see if you come out liberal.
Yeah, damn Skippy.
You might come out liberal. You'll be a liberal. Let's go.
I don't give a crap what they say. You know, there's agenda free. Kiss my ass. Here we go. And now, you have a neutral. And then it does kind of like Myers-Briggs, I think, does this. You go, you know, one negative, two negative, three negative. One positive, two positive, three positive. So you agree with this statement, you know. So they want to make this statement, and they want to see how cons you are. All right, here we go. In sex education class, the students are asked to inflate a condom with their mouth. Do you agree? I don't agree there should be sex education class. So what am I supposed to answer? You know, you say, you know, should they go, no, I don't like it. Yeah, I'm like, it's a stupid question. So I pick the middle, next, don't care. When a homeless man asks Matt for spare change, Matt keeps on walking and says, don't talk to me, loser. Do I agree or disagree with that? So now I'm like, I'm for or against free speech or for or against homeless people or spare change or whatever you're, you know, that dirty money has got COVID on it. I mean, what the hell am I supposed to be take from this? So when a homeless man comes to me, Matt keeps on walking and says, don't talk to me, loser. So I'm supposed to say he should be allowed to say that or not be allowed to say it. Or I don't like that he said it. Or I'm not even sure what the question is. Next. Don't care. The head of a public department says, I mean, right off the bat, I don't give a shit. Okay. The head of a public department says that none of her employees, of course it has to be a her, are allowed to smoke at all, not even in their free time. Well, that one I go, yeah, I disagree with that, but I'm going, it's a public, what the hell does public department have? So even no matter how I answer it, I'm like agreeing that there's some public department that says anything. You know, I'm going, that's like the library thing. So I'll go, not okay, you know, three, I'll give you that, I'll go next. Question four, Jack and Jill are classmates. Will's father is a lawyer. I already don't like the question. When he picks up Will from school, he refuses to say hi to Jack's father because he's only a janitor. What? You know, how is that a, all right, whatever. I go there. Sarah gets drunk in a bar and makes out with two strangers at once. Cool. I'm supposed to have an opinion on that. Why? You know, and none of these, and this is the problem that I had with it before. None of these questions presupposes what enforcement there is of this. Is it just an opinion or should I think there's a law? Sarah gets drunk in a bar. Well, she's drunk and she makes out with two strangers at once. Am I pissed off she's drunk, she's at a bar, or she's making out with two strangers? I mean, I don't care. So next. You know, Scott is hosting a dinner party. For dessert, he serves chocolate cake shaped to look like dog poop. don't care, you know? In sex education class, here we go again, the students are taught that since the sexes are equal, the girls should sleep with as many guys as they want without fear or of being considered sluts. Don't care. You know, Adam and Beth have been dating for 3 years. Adam is reluctant to have children, so Beth tells him that she's on the pill when she isn't. Not okay. You know, so next. Oh, I see that there's kind of half points here. Yeah, they got kind of, you know, strongly, whatever. Sarah's dog has four puppies. She can only find a home for two of them, so she kills the other two with a stone to the head. Yeah, it's like, I vote no on that. But, you know, by what? Is there a law behind this thing? I mean, what are they talking about? A group of parents concerned about their children's risk of obesity demand that the local store stop selling extra large size candy bars and soft drinks. You know, what's not okay that they complained or something? Are they allowed to complain? And, you know, am I supposed to say that they're not? Answer me this, Frank. A group of parents, okay, we got parents as a group, concerned about their children's risk of obesity, all right, demand that the local store stop selling extra large size candy bars and soft drinks. Demand with what? A petition? Demand with a government agent? Demand with the county health? Are they freaking Bloomberg and you can't have large soft drinks? I mean, you know, so what are they saying? What am I answering here? There should be a law or that, you know, am I
supporting? No. All right.
Demanding? Demand means
as
what?
As amusing as all this is an issue. Like, you're overthinking the question. And it's, you know,
no,
you
I'm
smart.
Not. Why am
Ernie,
I overthinking
Ernie, Ernie.
This?
All right. So the way I would interpret it, at least I would look at it, is I disagree. I would put, for me, strongly disagree with the concept. No, with the concept that you should go in and force somebody to do X, Y, Z.
They're not saying that. They're demanding. Demand. What does that mean?
Right. Exactly. They're demanding. They're demanding that they should.
You can demand blah blah blah.
I'm a free market person, so I disagree strongly with that statement of people thinking that way.
Are they allowed to demand the local store to stop? I demand all you want with a gun, you know, with the government force. They don't give me the whole response that they demand.
What the hell does that mean? God
bless
you,
man. Make America great again. What's America and what's great? This is all bullshit. Bullshit.
Ernie, you're too smart for the test. Like, the thing is,
you damn have, Skippy, like, I'm too smart for this test. That's my point.
Because I guess I'm too stupid to play it. Yeah. Here's the thing. Let me just be honest, okay? The thing is you have to acknowledge that the test is what you have to kind of get a sense of what they're trying to get to. Without overthinking it, you say, okay, I'm gonna play your game. I'm gonna play by your rules because I you're trying to give this to all different backgrounds of people. So I'm just going to take it face value. How do I feel about this black or white or green, yellow, red, whatever, and answer it. The thing is, and I say this with love, like Michael Jackson, with love, is that you as a strict libertarian, I mean, you're like the ultimate libertarian, you're that libertarian, it's all about control. You abhor any sense of control. And so when you sense any control
in your mind,
and that's what this test is doing, it's like you're overthinking it.
No, it's another form of control. It's bullshit. A group of parents. Fine, you got a group of parents.
Finish the test.
Learn about the children's health. Fine. Can they demand? Hell yeah, they can demand. You can demand all you want. Demand with what? With force? So I'm going, if they're demand with force, not okay. If it's just them exercising their right to express their opinion and boycott and demand all they want, I'm all the way to the right. I can answer this either way. But I need to know what demand means. You know, what the hell does that mean? Nah.
Right.
No,
Keep going.
I don't care.
Keep going.
All right.
Keep
going. An Army lieutenant neglects to file a report on a civilian killing done by his troops because he knows it was an accident. Now I'm going, I vote no on that one. You know, so you got to vote out of me. All right. When Lily tells her classmate Sue that it's her dream to be prom queen, she laughs out loud and says, "You're too ugly for that." Okay, I say that's not okay. That's kind of a social thing. I don't think I'm getting a law out of that one. A Christian bakery refuses to custom decorate a cake with chocolate letters that would carry a pro-gay message. A Christian bakery refuses. Because, so am I against them doing it, or should they have the right to do it? I go, yeah, I think they should do whatever the hell they want. Okay. Amy and Mia are coworkers. One day, Amy offers Mia to take her one of her shifts, no strings attached. Sometime later, Amy could really use someone to fill in for her, but Mia doesn't feel compelled because Amy's original offer had no strings attached. So I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to, the question is, I'm supposed to be supportive of what Amy did, or that she didn't have a strings attached, whatever. So I'm going, so she says that, no strings attached. So I agree, you know, no strings attached. You know, life sucks. They're unconditional love. You have the left kind of always going on about what, you know.
I think there should be a life sucks button option for you. Just a click. That'd be great.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's, all right. I'm making my point here. I'm open. Hannah inherited an old flag of her country from her father, but has never used it. One day, when Hannah is cleaning the house, she discovers that she is out of rags. So she uses the flag as a rag to clean the house. Is that okay or not? You know, I'm like, I go, yeah, that's her freaking flag. She can do what she wants with it. You know, there's going to be a law. Using both a condom and the pill, a brother and sister decide that they want to sleep with each other. Just wants to see what it would be like. And I care because, you know, no, they shouldn't. Yes, they should. I mean, you're supposed to be, and I don't care. That's like, you know, drunk women making out. Well, I don't care. It's not my deal. John's soccer coach decides that everyone on the team must wear black soccer shoes. But on the day of the match, John turns up in white soccer shoes instead. So am I, you know, is that good, bad, fair? Does the coach usually always wore, you know, different color stuff anyway? What? And I don't care. You know, Jane's boss calls all of his employees by their first names, but does not allow any of them to call him by his first name. When Jane insists that it must be a two-way street, he fires her. And I'm going, well, so he can fire her for anything he wants. I go, yeah, I don't like, you know, your breath. You know, you're fired. It's a justice thing. They want, you know, it's fair. Well, you know, what's the agreement? You know, what's the deal? Whose job is it? I mean, you don't get into that. They're wanting to go by, you know, this subjective view of what they believe is fair. And to me, fair is, I don't know, what was the agreement? What's the deal? Who owns the job? The laborer owns their labor, but it's not their job. You know, that's the employer. So these are all the things that go through my head. That's why it's so stupid that people making this test are stupid. And stupid.
Oh, Brian, I know all the things.
No, they craft this on purpose.
Brian, oh, I does know not all things going through your head.
Brian does not cooperate with law enforcement. Okay, I already voted yes already. You know, whenever he is pulled over, he refuses to answer questions and starts bickering with the officer about his rights. Well, I'm not for arguing with a guy with a gun about your rights and everything, but, you know, I go, no, you shouldn't do that because, you know, God knows what kind of cop, or yes, he has the right to do it. You know, am I supportive of him doing it or his right to do it? They don't ask you. So I get a neutral, I don't give a crap because it's a stupid question. Some men have a private all-male club and feminists take them to court demanding that they open it up to women. I'm going, you know, so am I yes for they have all-male club or no because they're demanding open, next, don't care. A new action figure becomes all the rage among the boys in Timmy's class. When Timmy's parents get to the store, they buy all of the action figures for Timmy, leaving none for the other children. Don't care. Because, I mean, what? Did they steal them? Did they shoplift them? Did they do, are they investing in them so they can be the next Cabbage Patch dolls? See, what the hell is this with government?
Listen, you know, this is comedy gold, man. This is
Bob and Pam are siblings. Bob is given $10 by their father and is told to distribute it between them as he likes. Bob gives $1 to Pam and pockets the $9 for himself. Well, what do I think of that? I think, you know, he gave him the power to do it. What is he? That's what I want to do. You know, I remember my mom when I was about, I don't know, 6 or 7, she gave us $5 for us, which is like, you know, like $20 back then, you know, or more, you know, gave us $5 and said, you know, you could go buy, you know, a Christmas present for your siblings or whatever. Well, I bought what I wanted, and I go, well, what do I do with this dime that's left over? I mean, you know, so it's you know, I you said I could buy Christmas presents. I bought my own. I mean, yeah, what's the deal? And it probably wasn't, and I felt bad about it, and I still remember that I was selfish. But, you know, what's the deal? So I don't care. You know, you gave it to him and said you distribute it as you like. You know, so Bob gives $1 to Pam and $9 to himself. Is Pam 2 years old? Is Pam, you know, a little snot? Is it, you know, an outscray? I don't care. There's not enough information here. A pair of parents read about the exotic delicacies of Africa and the Far East. In the coming week, they serve dog meat to their children. And I'm going, I don't know. Do they live in America? You know, are they in Thailand? Or, you know, and why do I don't care. You know, it's, you know, Tom and Linda have been.
This is too funny.
Tom and Linda have been dating for almost a year. Since they've never agreed to be exclusive, Tom sleeps with the other women without telling Linda.
Oh man.
Don't care. I mean, you know, that's the deal they had. I don't know. I don't remember.
I know.
They had to tell her. You know, Tina promises her dying mother that she'll visit her grave once a month. After the mother has passed away, Tina finds it hard to squeeze in the time, and her visits drop to about once a year. Hell, they're still visiting them? I mean, you know, so I, you know, the dying, you know, it's kind of, that's a personal, I don't care. Tim asks his father for permission to stay out late because his classmates are throwing a party. When his father refuses, Tim slams the door in his face. I vote, you know, that's disrespectful and not.
So Ernie, when you're saying I don't care, Ernie, when you're saying I don't care, are you putting the middle one?
Is that I get a lot of that. Oh yeah.
Just clear. I know.
Julie asks her friends not to fraternize with her ex-boyfriend Jake, since he cheated on her with other women. Then why is it they're still boyfriend? I mean, anyway. 3 weeks later, Julie's friend Melissa is dating him. So is that good or bad? It sounds like a personal problem. I don't care. You know, I mean, it's not my, I don't care. When Carl's soccer team is squaring off against a team of another nation, he sings along to the other team's national anthem instead of his own. You know, is there some force? They're going to pass a law. Yeah, take a knee, don't take a knee. I couldn't possibly care less. You know, you're still watching football? Obviously not. Oh, it's like the NBA commissioner where they're going, yeah, this Black Lives Matter thing, I think it's kind of run its course. We're not going to be having them on the court next year because nobody's watching basketball anymore. You know? So what am I supposed to do? He sings the other anthem. A lot of times it was just out of politeness, or it didn't be seen as such a political statement now. So I'm just going to put down, I don't care. Emma and Cindy are summer interns at Chris's office. Emma does slightly better than Cindy. At the end of the summer, there's only one job opening, but Chris gives it to Cindy because he finds her more attractive. Oh, it's his job. I can do whatever the hell. Yeah, I don't care. You know, I was like, you know, this, have your own freaking job. The principal of a school says that none of her students are allowed to draw Muhammad on the school premises or to bring Muhammad cartoons to school. Well, right off the bat, I got to agree that there's a principal of a school that gets to say that. I mean, I don't care. You know, a man orders a custom-built sex doll designed to look just like his niece. Wow. So this is, you know, let's break this down. A man orders a custom-built sex doll. Is he allowed or not allowed to, you know, to do that? And it designs it to look like his niece. I'm going, yeah, that's pretty creepy.
But I don't care.
Are they advocating the law? I mean, what's the law here? What are they going to do? I'll give that. See, I don't do this half no, you know, half yes kind of crap.
Oh, I'm learning that big time. Yeah.
You know, I'll give that a big no, because I don't want that guy babysitting my grandkids. But, you know, what are they asking here? I think it's kind of creepy, but is there a law? A man sets up an unlicensed medical practice. I already like him already. I'm voting yes, unless it's screwing me up here. But makes all of his customers sign a contract acknowledging that he is not a licensed physician. Cool. Yeah, hell yeah. They get one out of me there. Boom. Finally, a decent question.
When Kelly asks Stephen out on a date, he sneers and says, like, I'm going to date a woman who looks like my overweight bulldog. When Kelly asked Steve out on a date, he sneered and said, like, I'm going to go, okay, that's probably being a dick, you know, but is there a law here? Is there, you know, is he allowed free speech? So I vote no. That's probably a bad idea. While on a live on-air TV show, a man kills a baby rabbit with a knife. So is this
that's actually your catapult channel right there.
Yeah, no, this is what I'm thinking. I'm going, well, hell, they did that in Army training, you know, videos for special forces. You might need to make a shoe out of it. I mean, you know, what are they talking about? While on live on-air TV, is this broadcast? Is this, you know, is it on a YouTube? Is it, you know, streaming? A man kills a baby rabbit with a knife. Are they making the kids watch it? Is it on Nickelodeon? Is it, you know, I just, there's so many questions coming this, and I'm going, you know, but I've seen this kind of stuff in hunting channels on the internet. They're going, how to skin. I'm sure I probably watched one on skinning a boar, you know, on, you know, dressing meat, on doing roadkill, on elk of, I mean, you know, so what am I supposed to do here? They're not allowed to do that. What's the question? That he did it or that it should be not? It's going to have to get a I don't care on that one. Just too much stuff. Dan turns up the TV just as his father is talking about his military service. That's probably being a dick. I'll put, you know, that's being a dick, you know. But does it have to be military service or just his how do they weight that? Is it because his father's talking or because he's talking about his military service? Is that where they're getting you? Well, if it's military service, it's okay to turn it up. But if it was about, you know, Hillary Clinton, you know, you're not allowed to turn it up. You see, it's subjective. It's, you know, it's crap. In biology class, a human hand preserved in a jar is passed around among the students. Biology class of what? Seventh graders? You know, a junior in college? I mean, what? And that, you know, there's not enough information. Yeah, I don't care. You know, so what does it put me? I'm probably pretty close to whatever it was before. Your strongest moral foundation is care. Ironically, your morality is closest to that of a, what do you think? What do you think, Frank? Oh, we lost him. That sucks right when it was getting good. Is he on the, okay, we'll put him the call back. You know, I don't want to say what it came out, you know, and have him call back. Well, that sucks right at the end of the thing. I don't want to know. All right, there he is. Yeah, right at the punchline, right at the end. Oh, and it hung up again. Okay, wait. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Did you finish?
Yeah. I just finished, but I didn't say. It says, my strongest moral foundation is care. It says care 81%, fairness 50%, purity 58%, whatever the hell that means. Loyalty 33%, authority 75%, liberty 75%. Your strongest moral foundation is care. Your morality is closest to that of a what?
Conservative. There he came up again, conservative again.
Because I don't care. See, you don't care because then you're conservative. It goes, but your highest moral foundation is care? What kind of crap is this?
Because you're such a nice man, Ernie. That's why. I have to say, I apologize for giggling the whole time like some school kid. I have to say, was hysterical. Fun. That was funny for me to listen to, just to hear how, I mean, again, I mean, it's like you are just overqualified for the test in a way, but because you can't. Because you will not, you know, it's a testament to you in a way, not to blow smoke at you, but that you are constantly on the defense of having anyone try to control you in any way. I mean, even if it's in a mock setting, this is just a mock
question.
Way of lowering your guard to answer not to be manipulated, but of what they were trying to get to, and you would not allow it because.
All right, what the hell were they trying to get to?
Well. Look, you, like, for instance, you kept looking at the questions from the perspective of, is there a law? That wasn't what the question was. That wasn't the question. They were just asking if this, in such a situation, how do you tend to look at it? I mean, look, you got to keep in mind, this is trying to vet most of Americans.
To not care. What people do usually in their own, you know, how is that?
Ernie, how come someone who says, well, you keep saying you goddamn don't care, but the highest rating was caring?
I know. It tells you how much bullshit this contest. So I'm going, you know, my thing is that I'm going, what are they asking me to pass a law? You know what? You know what they should be asking is something like in raising your children, how do you want your family to see? What is your opinion as expressed to your grandkids or something? Then it has some value. But if it's some, you know, people demand, right? Are they allowed to demand, not demand? Of course, go demand all you want. Oh, you're going to use my tax money to enforce your demand? You know, that's it. They don't say. So it's just, it's not, you're damn skippy eye over there. This is just manipulation. This is just bullshit. So that's why, you know, Frank was like, oh yeah, you got to take this turn. You didn't come out libertarian. Now I go, because this is definitely not done by libertarians. I can't freaking do that. You know,
that's not the point, Ernie. Look, remember, this test is meant to be given to most people and for all Americans or all human beings, right? You got to keep in mind, libertarians, strict libertarians, that libertarian, and I say this with respect. I mean, a lot of us, and I'm kind of there mainly with you guys. You know, many of us are INTJs on the Myers-Briggs or ISTJs, which I think is what you came out at. Many of us, and these are the rarer combinations.
ENTJ.
ENTJ. Bad Frank, that was the same one Adolf Hitler was, just for the record. But the point is, an INTJ, George Lucas is an INTJ, and many different. Anyway, the thing is, we're more in the minority. We really are the minority viewpoint from personality, but also libertarians. We see the world differently. We're very strong in liberty and autonomy and the rest. Most people, human beings, are not. And without going down this, you know, this whole debate again, this is why you and I have had this classic argument, the reason that you had a baseball bat from Negan with barbed wire around it, which is the concept that, yes, you
know, I'm really looking forward to putting that in my house when I get back. It was a one-year gift from Frank, you know, because he's always going about Walking Dead or something. And, you know, Negan had this Louisville slugger with Bob Wire.
Lucille.
And he has, what did I say?
Louisville. But in the
comic, it was a Louisville bat. You know,
that's true. He called it Lucille. That's his girlfriend, Lucille.
You know, so it's a Louisville slugger bat called Lucille. And it has barbed wire around with a little red paint, blood. And it's in a cabinet. It has a plaque, you know, when you're a Trump reporter. That was a very awesome gift. And so I got that in storage, you know, waiting on me to get back. You know, I was almost thought of putting it in the bus. I go, nah.
Just to summarize it, because that symbolizes Ernie and I are our ongoing debate, and many times for the country, which is yes, we could have all, it'd be great to have liberty and autonomy and I don't want to say anarchy necessarily, but for everyone to do their own thing. The problem is, if everyone does their own thing, most people, unfortunately or fortunately, however you look at it, do not want to be that autonomous. Being strict libertarian and autonomous is really it's a minority opinion, which means the majority like to be followers. And followers can be dangerous, especially when they're pack animals. And all you need is one sociopath or anybody to get a group of these people who don't want to work as hard, who want to take resources from the rich and give it to themselves, right? It's what we deal with every day. And you will be overwhelmed and overrun. So you could have your own chickens and your own farm and whatever else, but if the mob wants it, they will take it. And that's why many times everyone doing their own thing may not work. One, anyway, Ernie's got his own defense with it, and we won't get into that right now, but that's kind of what this is. Libertarians, we are the minority opinion in many ways, maybe just from a psychological perspective. So this test is meant to test everybody. And so when a liberal, let's say, is reading this, they're probably not thinking, is there a law? And what does the First Amendment think? And this, of course they're not. So that you got to keep that in mind when you're taking the test, obviously.
I got to test. You know, I just did. I go, you guys take this, you know, what the hell does it tell you? It tells you that you're already presupposing that there's
schools, that there's sex education, that there's classes, that there should be laws against this and that, and you got to pass moral judgment on other people that aren't having anything to do with you. That's what they, that's a presupposes of the whole thing. So I'm just going, it's a bullshit test.
Well, for anyone still listening.
There's a question on there. Do you think this test is bullshit? Yes. Boom.
No, I would love to see you in school. I'm curious. So how did you do in school when you took high school tests? Did you like fail them all because you're like disagreeing with everything or overthinking them? Like, how did you even pass school?
School was different. You know, I really liked my high school. I thought that the teachers and stuff were pretty good. You know, I think I sold myself short by when you go and you pick classes, I always pick the ones that were the funnest, you know, people like the teacher and that they had easy tests or they didn't require a lot of homework. I was looking, I always did well, I was on a roll and, you know, towards the top of my class, I was definitely top 10%. I think I qualified for all kind of crap, but I didn't really work super hard at it. I didn't have to. It was pretty easy for me. I'd cram the night before and I'd do okay on tests and everything. So I wasn't an idiot, but I didn't really get the education that I could have had my parents been more involved or I took it more seriously or something. But I was waiting on college and I went to college and it was worse than high school. And I'm going, this is BS. I was really disillusioned when I went to college and at philosophy 101 and it wasn't how well you made your argument or you did the work and you filled it out right, you put your name in the right place and all that crap. It was, oh, you had the wrong philosophy, D. And I went, what? Oh, yeah, no, you thought this about that. And the teacher's aide, graduate student, you know, said that. And I go, why? What the heck? Well, because, you know, that's not the right answer in a philosophy class. I'm like, what?
So yeah.
Yeah, so I it was just more control.
I completely agree. I have to say, I can easily go down that path when I turn on my libertarian side of me. I know there was I may have told you this story once a long time ago. I was applying for a job. It was like at Best Buy or some big box back in the day when I was a kid. And I had to take one of these tests. It was this odd little personality test to figure out what kind of worker you might be.
Yeah, no, I've taken those before.
And yeah, exactly. And then the owner and the people who actually asked me to come in, they said I've been a no-brainer. I mean, I was, you know, they said I was one of the best candidates they had seen. I was dressed up in a suit. I mean, I was like the only person applying for these kind of jobs, you know, wearing a suit and tie, for God's sake. But I wound up getting the test and I got some of these questions and I was just like you taking this test. I was getting annoyed. I was getting offended. I was overthinking the questions, which probably, you know, to my credit, I mean, I was frustrated with it. But the question that finally I just had it, they said, the question was, it was like an ethical test, right? And it said, if your boss tells you to do something that you know is wrong, you know, whatever it is, will you carry out his orders because he's the boss or will you counter his instructions because you know he's wrong? And I just, you know, I basically did an Ernie Hancock on it and decided instead of yes or no, I just decided to write a little essay next to it. Anyway, suffice to say, I did not get the job, even though I promised like a no-brainer. But that was, so I completely get it, or I could go down that path. But
you know, I got to inject this. And there was, when I started working in the restaurant industry and I was general manager of a lot of stuff, and we opened our own restaurant and all that stuff. When I came back, had my own business for a long time, and then I got burned. Well, I couldn't, you know, for like a year or two, I mean, you got to let your skin heal and you can't, you know, get chemicals on and what I was doing and so on. So I went back in the restaurant industry and they had all these tests and I'm going, this is a stupid test. They'd go, if you see another employee stealing from the walk-in, do you, A, you know, tell your manager, report them, do this, do that, or hey, I'm getting mine and all this kind of stuff. And I go to the human resources and I go, these are stupid tests. I mean, this is obvious. The question is weighted. It's an obvious answer. Now, you don't understand, Ernie. That's what we're trying to find out. I go, what do you mean? They go, we're trying to see whether they're like that or not. They could be a sociopath, scumbag piece of crap and just, you know, answer the test correctly because they know what the answer is. But we're trying to find out at least the people that even know what the right answer is. And I go, good freaking point. Because the people, when I took over one of the restaurants, they were supposed to have all the employees take this test as a prerequisite for being hired. Well, a lot of them, they just didn't. They just gave them a uniform and they didn't do it. So to get all my human resources and their employee files up today, okay, everybody take the test. Well, the guys that were the scumbag piece of thieving crap, they came out red. And I go through and I look at it, I even talk to some of them going, why did you do this? Well, that's because, you know, and that's the way, you know, whatever. It was how they were brought up. You know, that was, well, of course I get mine. You know, he got his, I'm getting mine. And it was, do they even know what the right answer is? And I'm going, wow, that is telling, because that's where we've gotten now, that we have an entire generation, they don't even know what morality is. You know, it's whatever, I don't know, they got from the welfare system of whatever the hell. So we have totally screwed up an entire nation of what is and is not correct or right. That's why when I take this test, they're not really asking the right question. Do you advocate force and telling somebody whether they can or can't do this thing with voluntary, compliant other adults, whatever the hell? And I'm going, well, it seems like there was all voluntary action. I may not do it or advocate it or want to babysit my kid, but I'm not going to, I don't care, you know, go peace. But they, nope, that's not an answer. You're not allowed to do that one. You're doing it wrong. We may have doing it wrong. Well, what are you trying to find out? We're trying to find out how conned you are. We're trying to find out how much you're supporting the system. We're trying to find out if you look at Facebook enough. That's what we're trying to find out. You know, and I'm going, wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, but for those that are still listening this long, I just wanted
hell
to
point yeah, out they are. Are you kidding?
Yeah, if anyone's listening. So I wanted to just point out that one of the reasons why this has been coming up in a lot of political circles, liberals, you know, a lot of colleges, political science courses are talking about this, and it's made its way into many conservative and even a few libertarian, at least YouTube channels, I'll just be honest, at least those are the areas I've been reading and seeing more of it. And it's, you know, a lot of people are looking into it. I mean, is it one of these things that sets you and forces your hand and defines you? No, not necessarily. I mean, Ernie Hancock is a good Republican now, according to today. But aside from that,
no,
you
know, it
gives you barometer. But look, here's what the take-home message of what they're trying to talk about is, how, maybe why we're not communicating amongst different groups. So that's kind of the take-home message here, aside from arguing over the test. That the thing is why is it that we can, and forget libertarians for a minute, okay? I know, and that's most of this audience. But the thing is, if you got the average conservative and liberal, and they're arguing over something like immigration, how is it both sides honestly think the other side is off the plantation? They don't understand it. And it seems to be, for a lot of factors, I mean, for a lot of issues, of course, is that it comes down to how we process things. And it seems that conservatives tend to utilize all five of the different categories that this thing tests for. So I'm going to read them off real quick, just to give you a sense of it, as far as what they are. So the foundations are, there's five of them, okay? Care versus harm, fairness versus cheating, loyalty versus betrayal, authority versus subversion, sanctity versus degradation, and lastly, Ernie's favorite, liberty versus oppression. And so the idea is that, you know, that we were balancing these five, and depending on how much do we modulate between each of them. In a nutshell, conservatives tend to utilize all of them. Now, none of them are like through the roof, but we're kind of like, we're conservatives are sort of like across the board, you know, like 50%-ish roughly on all of them to some degree. Liberals tend to only be two of them. And one of them I know is the care and harm. And the other one I believe is fairness versus cheating. Those are the only two that they utilize. The others, they don't give a crap about liberty versus oppression.
Well, my highest was liberty. Liberty. That's the I don't care button.
Yeah, but right, okay. But the thing is that if a liberal takes it, or one of your leftist friends or relatives, one of the reasons why they don't seem to, like, we're not even connecting on these concepts is in their mind, they don't even see these as issues. They see it all about fairness. So that is why you can sit there and go on and on about, well, I need a passport to go to other countries. How come people don't need a passport coming here? Well, if we have open borders, well, what happens if everyone wants all these benefits and we have to increase the debt, we don't have money and blah, 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 blah. All they hear is from Snoopy and the Peanuts, wah, 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 wah. And it's like, well, it's unfair that these children don't have what we have here. And that's kind of how the so-called debate
or discussions are broken down. So it's fair that they're going to put a gun to your head to take your money and redistribute it. You see, this is why I think it's not – you're overthinking it. No, I'm not.
Wait. And the last point – Ernie, let me just – but the punchline is that conservatives are kind of across the board all five roughly, but not high in any of them. Liberals are spiked in those two, and the rest of them they don't really care about. And traditionally – the diehard libertarians tend to be low in all five in general. In other words, they don't spike any of them. They're just kind of low in all of them. So it doesn't mean that they don't have any morals. That's not the issue. It's just that which ones guide them as far as making policy and how they look at issues. So in any case, there's a lot of more discussion about it. I know we're over time. We probably should finish up. But I just wanted to point out there's reasons why I would recommend. I mean, it's up to you if you want to put something on your website. But for those of you interested, just go on YouTube. Put in moral foundations test. There's many videos about psychologists.
Do you have the moral foundation test link on the third hour? Okay, go ahead and do that. It's called Moral Foundations Test. And just put that link up there so people can not entertain themselves.
You can learn about it a bit and see and see how.
Okay,
it's a nice insight.
Stupid.
You know,
these
I know
are the kind of
pissed.
Questions that come out of the press when only
I know why you're angry. I figured it out.
They did just. No.
Donna took this and she became libertarian, and you did not. That's why you're losing sleep over this. I guarantee.
And trust me, I'm not losing my even thought about it to you. I don't care. You know, I remember in the Arizona public policy thing when they did that, they would, 1 year that they did it, they had, it was so weighted, the questions. It was obvious what they wanted is they were pushing for vote Republican so they can get the right judges in to do some, whatever the hell. It's push polls. You know, that's what all this stuff is. And what happened was they gave you the option of essay. All right, you don't answer it and you do the essay. So I go, stupid question because blah, blah, blah. The same kind of what I just did, you know, for the audience there. I would do on these questionnaires, you know, to candidates. I'm running for Congress. Yeah, bring it on. Put it in there. Let's go. Well, of course, they print what you actually, the bubble you would pick online, or they put in what you did. And they wouldn't put your essay. They just put you didn't answer the question. So my friends at church go, well, you didn't answer this question. Why didn't you answer this question? I go, because it presupposes I believe in public libraries, government-funded libraries. Bullshit. I go, what's happening? Barnes & Noble comes out. They have a big lounge with couches, and they got coffee. So what did the local library down the street do? They started adding donuts and coffee. I go, taxpayer-funded competition with what? Then you got the video clerk. You know, the video store, the Blockbuster, the local guys rent movies. So what do? They put a whole big giant wall of DVDs or VHSs of movies in the rack for free. You know, that you can go and I'm going, this is fascism, man. You know, this is, you know, they're competing in the free market with taxpayer money. And I'm supposed to be supportive of this. I go, I'm not answering that crap. So then I would do, you know, and make those statements, you know, just a short paragraph, couple of sentences, and I go, this is why I say BS on that. What was the agreement? The agreement with libertarian, because I knew the guy's doing this, and I knew it. He's like, Trent Franks was big on this thing before he became congressman. He's working with these guys, so obviously you can tell what kind of questions they were. So I go in and I said, nope, I can't do that. They go, oh, well, you answer that. We'll put it on our website. Well, 1 year, they did put our answer so people would go and see what the libertarians say. Yeah, he's kind of right. This is kind of bullshit. So the next year they go, nah, we're not publishing them anymore. Because they didn't want me to do what I just did to this questionnaire. The questionnaire is stupid because they presuppose blah, 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 blah. So they're going, eh, I don't think we'll put that up on the website anymore. So right there you know the thing's bullshit.
All right. Well, you know. A lot of this comes down to also the larger issue, which, you know, we'll probably fight for forever unless the geneticists figure it out, which is nature versus nurture. That's kind of the question. When people think or focus their beliefs on just two of these moral centers, which is like, I don't care about anything else, but I see children crying. I mean, why do you think Democrats always win by saying it's for the children? It's always for the children. They pull that out. Or now it's racism or whatever. It's their emotional.
You know the memes that I send you? You've been getting the memes I tell you?
No, I have. But the thing is that's the question. Do you learn that? Is that because you're around bleeding heart liberal family?
No. I'm going to answer this question. Nature? Those memes come from our friend Greg in Missouri. And I don't send you.
And they're great. Thank you.
You know, I just pull out the ones. I go, you know, I can't really put this on Telegram because that's just not going to go over, you know. And but I go, this is so freaking frank. I go, that was a good frank day. You know, so I'll send him the memes that I know that he'll like that I'd never pull. I don't care. But it was, you know, I'm going, no, Frank can feel good on this one. Yeah, I know you're sitting there grinning your ass off when I send these to you. So,
oh, yeah, they're great.
But one thing, Greg, in the 90s, you know, he got divorced. And he believed that it was just a spoiled, you know, American philosophy that just couldn't go with his independent, libertarian, self-sustaining kind of mindset. So he did a pen pal looking for before the internet was a big thing. And he traveled to the Philippines and visited different families and so on around that, you know, here, marry our daughter. And he picked one, Doreen, boom. They've been married for, God, 20 whatever years. So they have two children that they had birthed at home. They never went to government schools. They trained themselves. One works for a newspaper as a graphic artist, and she's done a lot of our, Athena, you know, did a lot of our covers and so on. And her sister is now at University of Arizona doing whatever. His daughter from his first marriage, I was the pastor at her wedding. You know, they had sent me all the, if I can be pastor of a titanium card of Spaghetti Monster or whatever the hell, Universal Church or something. And, married her and her husband. Well, so I've known this family for a long time. His big thing back when it was always for the children, he goes, and his comment, first thing he said, first, kill all the children. What? And he goes, yep, kill all the children.
Oh, geez.
And then we don't have to do it for the children anymore. Kill the children. Damn children. They're screwing up my freedom. Yo, kill the children. Well, of course, he's saying kill the children. No, he did this to shut off the debate because I don't give a crap. Kill all the children. They're not at the
work. Right. Shut down the
right?
debate.
So if we kill the children, then we don't have a debate anymore. The damn children are taking my freedom. Damn children. Kill the children, you know? And of course, that's not his position. But, you know, it was – and he would give a lot of examples about, like, in China, you know, they would drown the females. You know, they would, you know, and then it got to where we're going to do it the right way. We're going to have government forced abortions. You know, we're going to test an abortion. It was not a male, but it's just a society thing. And where do you draw the line?
Now, Ernie, there you go. And when we had a big debate, when Charles Goyette was on the show, I brought all this up about the culture issue and the Americans don't understand this. You know, when I had I'm going to tell the story. It's been years since I've told it. I had one of my Asian friends. I was, before I was part of the black fraternity, Alpha Phi Alphas, long story, but I was actually roommated with a Korean friend of mine because I hung out with the Asians all the time because they studied a lot. And with my Tourette syndrome, I studied with anyway, the point is I had Asian girlfriends. I was all into I was around Asian people a lot. But they eventually, they kind of took me into their community. And we had a serious talk one time with a guy that was usually a joker. But he said, Frank,
token white guy.
Yeah, I was I was always a token white guy with all these different groups. Even though, don't tell anybody, because I'm a racist. We have Make America White Again Trump supporter, so don't tell anybody. But anyway, the thing is that he told me his name was Junghwa, that was his name. And I also learned that Koreans really know how to swear. They're Koreans are very creative when it comes to swear words. I can only tell you this off the air what they're swearing.
Hell, Vietnamese just talking sounds like they're swearing yelling at each
other. No. I mean, if you know what they mean, it's like they're very creative, and I even just laugh. But anyway, the thing is, he had told me once. He said, Frank, because we're having this debate, kind of like you and I going with something, and he realized, and as much as he's a joker normally, he realized that what was sticking it up was that I really had not been to Asia yet. I mean, those who listen to the show, I went to college in Japan. I spent time in China and Philippines. So I've been around now. But at the time, I had never been to Asia, but I was around Asian people a lot. I was in the martial arts for 10 years and blah, blah, blah. So he said, Frank, he goes, look, you understand that we look at the world differently. He said, look, think this over. Here's a thought experiment. You're walking home and your house is on fire. And in your house is your mother and your daughter. Who do you save? You only have time to save one person. Who do you save? And of course, he said, look, I already know what your answer is. The answer is, because you're an American, is going to be save the daughter. Why? Because, you know, your mother's already lived her life. You know, your daughter has a whole life to live and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just like a no-brainer. But he said in Asia, it's often the opposite. They will save the mother. And why? Because they say you only have one mother. You can always have more children. And that is that hit me. I will never forget that. And it's something that you don't even consider. But imagine a culture that's based on that. You start to understand why the Asians, in many ways, will promote.
So it's for the children doesn't work in Asia?
Exactly. I mean, the Chinese are they're getting repelled by all this Disney crap, all the they hate SJW everything. That's why Mulan, and I don't want to get a whole other topic about Hollywood falling apart and destroying themselves right now, but they're self-destructing. And a lot of it is they try to pander to Asia the way that they thought it worked in America, and they have no concept of how Asians think. And I learned that when I was in Japan. When I was in Japan, I was part of the JET program, but it was a program for teaching Americans how to interface with Japanese business people. Because I was thinking of living in Japan and being an official Japanese translator in economics and international economics. I was going to go down a whole other path in prostate doctor, but nevertheless, it was an area that you learn how they think. And many business deals would go down bad because Americans did not understand how Asians thought. And Asians always have the competitive advantage that Donald Trump understands, going back to Donald Trump, because the thing is they have the advantage because they understand our language. We don't know their language. They can think in English. We can't think in Chinese, even thinking differently. Also, they understand our culture. We don't understand theirs. So we're at a disadvantage, the art of war. And God knows, Donald Trump knows the art of the deal, which is the art of war redone. And so that is why this man needs to be president. He should all vote. But before we go, let's not get down there. But the thing is, the culture.
I still got to see if I can vote. I'm not allowed.
But the culture is such an issue. And the Asians, I forgot the topic here, but as far as the Asians with the youth. Oh, I know about for the children and all. So with that concept about saving the mother versus the child, for instance, it gives a sense of how the Chinese or Japanese, they honor the past. So when they have old buildings, when I was in Japan, you'd see buildings that were thousands of years old in the middle of two new skyscrapers. The land was so expensive. I mean, God,
mandated by the government, or does the culture and the people?
The culture defends it, exactly.
That's different. It would be abhorrent.
So the culture. So the fact that you have, imagine you have a plot, just like a 3 foot or 2 foot, 3 foot square piece of property in the middle of Times Square nobody's using because it represents something of their past. That's something you would not see in Times Square or New York.
They take those statues down.
Exactly. The other thing is, and this came up, this was very apparent, by the way, in the 1990s with Bill Clinton. And I'm not trying to just Clinton bash here in this case, but it's a culture issue. Bill Clinton remember he made a big deal with China regarding the most favored nation status. Remember that whole deal back in the 90s? And one of the things that held it up, that at least Clinton held over the Chinese, as he said, he thought he had leverage. And he said, you know, well, aside from the fact that they do all the manufacturing, they own our debt, we don't really have any leverage, but let's just put that aside for a minute. The Bill Clinton was like, he's like, well, look, we're not going to allow you into MFN status because we're the gatekeepers, because we do not approve of how you guys handle your children. You don't have child labor laws, and you have sweatshops that make all of our Apple devices. Well, this is before Apple was making stuff. But the thing is, you know, we were exploiting them, but we were turning around on our high horse and complaining that they didn't treat their children properly. And that was all the rage of leverage. And then all of a sudden they have the United Nations thing, whatever, and the Chinese decided to come back with their retort. And they said, America, F you. They said, "You, how dare you sit there and talk to us about how we treat our children?" Said, "You stick it up your ass.
Yeah, look what you know do what? To your old people. Right.
Look at how you handle your elderly. The fact that you guys, when someone's you know over a certain age, you don't even put them on television because the ratings are bad. You don't like to see old people on TV. If you're in Asia, you see old people all the time. It's something you never see on American TV. And once you're over 70 or something, you're going to throw your parents into senior homes where they can get bacterial infections and be discarded as human beings. They're your parents. How dare you sit there and reprimand us?" And that's how the Asians looked at it. And of course, I'm sure it didn't make it into the media much, but it shows you how important culture issues are in Asia. And anyway, it's a loaded topic, but yeah, the for the children thing works in America, but it doesn't work overseas.
Oh, this week. I mean, you know, it's all about general public opinion. And that's why Greg would do that. He'd go, kill the children. What are you You know, he's like, yeah, man, if they're the problem, and it was just a point that he was making to get you, whoa, you're challenging this children thing, where somebody from Asia, they're going, yeah, we do. You know, we kill the children. You know, we have forced abortions. we do it.
True.
Yeah. Or we throw them in the canal or, you know, in the river or whatever the hell. You know, it is a cultural thing, and I don't think that these questions represent that, and they can't, because the way the questions are worded, it presupposes that you're already been brainwashed to think this about that. And so that's why I can't. People take it, the link is in the show notes. Donna put it in the archive in the third hour there. You want to go take it, but you'll see my point. You know, we went through it. You go, and it's just seriously. You know, this is just so much more brainwashed.
I want you to send me Donna's result. I'm curious what Donna gets. Just let me. You can tell me privately. I just want to laugh.
She did. I thought she did.
No, she did. Really? Yeah, seriously?
I don't know. Did you take that test, Donna? Did you do it? Yeah, go ahead. No, she's not
going to. Okay, yeah. Right. We'll talk about next week. Hey, man, look, it was nice chatting. It was a good time. I'm sure Trump will do something by next week, and we'll have the debate, probably the new debate, assuming that they fold or buckle. We'll see what they do. But it's going to be interesting.
Yep. All right. Peace, brother.
See ya. Bye.